From the Film Grok Studios in beautiful downtown Studio City, this is Film Grok. Our movie for this week is Contact. My name is Serge Dalpierre, and we have today with me...
Tim McMillan.
And...
Taylor Thomas.
And Jump the Gun Jim.
And Jump the Gun...
Jim
Usterman.
He was kind of doing a feint that we kind of...
That's right.
I almost ladies first.
I almost pointed at you, but I pointed at Taylor first.
He threw me off.
The cue point for Contact is the very end of the Warner Brothers logo at the beginning as it fades to black. Just as it goes to black, pause it there. And while you're doing that, we're going to keep on talking when we're all ready. I will count down 3, 2, 1, play. And we'll hit play or tell the film grok projectionist to start the movie here in our film grok.
Who's
cinema.
Our projectionist today?
Gus.
Gus. Oh, he's a good one.
That's right. Bubba was last time.
Bubba's cousin.
And then you will hit play and then hear us in sync with you on the film, or you can listen to this when you're going swimming in the pool. Or I know, it makes no sense. When you're on a beach somewhere and the sky is very, very strange and you see the Milky Way in the background.
And you can watch Contact in your mind.
Yes.
Or something like that. Or where you're listening. Oh, that's right. When you could be, instead of listening to SETI, you could be listening to Film Grok. How about that? That's a goodie.
That's good. Yeah. Most creative ever.
I don't think so. So this movie came out in 1997. Mm-hmm. And who saw this in the theater?
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Yes.
As a child.
Yeah.
But I didn't like yesterday. It very much when I was younger.
Did you go with your parents?
Yeah, my mom made me go.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, a sci-fi movie with no aliens.
Were you bugging your mom the whole time?
Yeah,
mom,
like,
where's
the aliens?
Why
are they talking? What's happening? That's... But then I watched it again when I got a little older and I appreciated it more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's my history with Contact.
Right. And I hear a little birdie tells me that you went to the same school as Jenna Malone.
She was a couple grades ahead of me. But yeah, she grew up in Lake Tahoe where I grew up. And she came and talked to us right after this came out.
Nice.
Yeah. Malone? That was good. Maloney.
Malone. Jenna Malone. Hmm. So.
Oh, you're thinking of the woman who's on West Wing.
Maroney?
Her last name is Maloney. I don't remember her first name. Oh. It's close to that.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. And did your mom like the movie?
My mom loves Contact.
Okay.
She loves this movie.
So she loved it.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Tim, did you see this in the theater?
I saw it in 70mm.
Nice.
At the Cine Capri, the flagship theater in Phoenix, Arizona, the year that Cine Capri was torn down. The last show they ever screened was Titanic, so this came out just before Titanic, I believe.
Titanic sank Cine Capri.
Yeah,
it did. The last showing they screened was the time the Titanic sank. It was like midnight 2 a.m. was the last show they had in the theater.
Oh, so they did a theme closing.
Yeah, of the film Titanic. Nice. Anyway, I digress, but Contact I saw in a beautiful old-time theater, and I really liked it. I think from the novel... I can't imagine. The ending to me was a little weak in how the payoff of everything. And I thought, well, being from a novel, it must have been very hard to adapt. Since I had never read the book, I just figured they just really couldn't surmount that for the ending and really do it cinematically, I guess, to my satisfaction. But besides that, the production, the ideas, I felt it was a very noble film for the questions it raised. Excuse me. And I've very well executed. The production aspects of it are really cool to watch. Mm-hmm. And I thought the people element of it was really cool as well, as far as the characters that were in the story. It wasn't just an excuse to do their ideas. I felt they had some neat people in the environment as well.
Interesting. Jim?
I think I was... in high school when this came out. I'm a little younger than the rest of you, so... And I think I was on drugs, so I don't recall.
Did you see this in the theater?
I did see this in the theater, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I was wondering where the aliens were. And was just... I found some of the effects... I don't know if off-putting... I thought, that's... odd, because it was, I mean, it was unique in the way that they presented this sort of other dimension or other world. And so it made me think, which I guess is a good thing. And I enjoyed the movie, and I enjoy, you know, our lead actress. But I came away, I liked the movie, but it wasn't, you know, I was sort of, there were good points and bad points about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw this in the theater.
No?
I thought that I might have, but I don't think I did. I think I saw this on video afterwards. And I mean,
on Betamax?
Beta was dead by then. So this is all VHS, and this is like DVDs were starting, I guess.
For the listening audience, he still has a Beta machine that he uses.
I do not. I never had Beta. I was always a VHS person. Are you kidding?
I had Beta. Beta's a better picture.
I know Beta's a better picture, but I never had Beta. I was always VHS. I mean, I think by the time I even started, like, oh, yeah, I'll get myself a VCR, Beta was on its way out.
Sony had Beta. Sony had Minidisc.
Yeah. Well,
now they've got Blu-ray.
Sony created Blu-ray.
They finally got it with Blu-ray. So.
I think they kind of gave them that. I was a little in favor of the other format myself.
As were other people here at this very table.
So, Serge, you saw this on VHS?
But I digress.
Yeah, and I was impressed by it. I mean, I liked it enough to come back to it a few times and definitely wanted to, you know, plummet. And I think there's definitely some great performances. And technically speaking, this film is like out of this world. How it's executed, I mean, it's a fine thing. As we go through it, I'll definitely, you know, let that be known. There I have some problems with it. And it's something I didn't realize it then, but I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing that. Sort of like the same problems I have with Castaway, you know, which I think is actually quite a fine film, but there's just like two clunker of scenes. And it seems to just like stick out. If you just took those out, but you'd have to literally redo them. And I'm like, what were you guys thinking? But here, a little slightly different, but we'll get to that. But I never read the book.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, oh, Carl Sagan, rolled my eyes. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe there's something to what he was trying to say.
Carl Sagan's the man.
He was the man.
So,
yeah, but I mean, I knew him for writing the books. And I don't know, he had his TV series Cosmos on
which I loved.
PBS, which I never saw.
Oh, it was wonderful.
I mean, for me, liking space, too, it was just like, I guess I heard him talk, and I don't remember exactly. I just somehow was never fully impressed by him, whereas as much as I guess I should have been.
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, he was a scientist, and probably that might have handicapped him. I mean, in some way, he wasn't a performer, but his show I enjoyed very much.
I would say differently. I'd say he was less of a scientist than other people are, and more of a performer, and maybe that's what I didn't like.
Oh, maybe.
I think maybe that's what it was. It made the science a little on the softer side. I'm like, I mean, the message that this film says, that communicates, at least to me, I find actually good and revealing. That's why I actually like the film, is because of that message. And I'm like, oh, that's in there. That's cool. How it gets there, and that's more a function of the movie. I've never read the book, so I don't know.
I felt it was an ambitious production, an ambitious idea to put on the screen. And I liked it as more of a thinking man's science fiction film rather than a theme park ride, you know, film where it's just meant for stimulus. And,
sure. And I think that's part of probably what appeals to me. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. There is kind of
for
the
science fiction. It was a thinking man's platform.
Yeah. And then we'd qualify this as science fiction, right?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, decidedly.
Yeah. So.
I mean, she's passing through a dimensional barrier, basically.
Oh, okay. She does go through like a wormhole. So, okay. Mm-hmm. It is science fiction. Cool. All right. Good. All right. Oh, Gus is looking at me kind of askance, saying, okay, let's get going. So, all right, Gus, in the Film Grok projection booth, we're going to get going. So, if he is, I want some of that. Okay. So, I have ready, and 3, 2, 1, play.
Warner Brothers. So I like that there's no music.
Yeah, does this open just, silent?
It does open
absolutely.
Silent.
Absolutely.
Because I was afraid something wrong with
no, because then, yeah. Because then you have to listen. The first thing that comes up, I like a nice title treatment. And it's all still cool. Oh, there we go. Okay.
This was wonderful in 70mm.
This is great.
Opening.
Oh, it's a beautiful image.
And this was really a quantum leap in CG effects. I remember the buzz about this film is you will see in CG things you've never seen before, and how the advancements, excuse me, my voice is terrible right now, the advancements that CG has made, and it looks dated now, but when it came out, this was cutting-edge CG technology. Right.
I want to just mention something here. We're hearing a lot of different songs in there, and me working currently in music legal, I got to tell you, they spent a lot of money, unless they cut some amazing deals, on the amount of music that's used in this first little part. I mean, there's probably at least 20 to 30
tunes.
There's
enough of anything in there to be identifiable enough to...
If it's that song, absolutely. If it's identifiable,
I heard Crimson and Clover.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, there was Twilight. There's Twilight Zone, and the whole thing is moving back through time.
I thought I heard Lowrider too.
Yep.
At one point.
And they've got it. It's all little bits, but absolutely all that part. So, but they spent the money well, and it's, I think it's a great way to effectively communicate. I mean, I think it's a brilliant beginning. Because you don't think of that the radio waves essentially...
You're going back, essentially.
Mm-hmm. You're chasing back the radio waves as they're going through. I don't know how accurately scientifically it is, but I'm buying it. I'm buying how it's done.
This would be the most ambitious tracking shot, I think, ever in a motion picture.
It is, and it's all CG. It is all CG. I think there's a feature, actually, on the DVD that explains how they did that. And look, Good Evening, Mr. And All Our Ships at Sea. You've done that before.
And I love that there's still no music.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there is, yeah, exactly. There is no underscore.
It goes right to silence, and you're just floating through it. It's great.
Well, because it's critical to what this is, and it's beautiful too. That's all CG too.
Yeah, it is gorgeous.
That's got a name, and I don't remember what it's called.
The nebula?
It's cloud. I don't know, some kind of nebula. Now, I'm just curious about how accurate this is geographically, about how it's pulling back. Because I think now we're seeing this is the
galaxy.
That's the Milky Way. That's our galaxy. Yeah.
Now we're going into another galaxy.
Now we're passing through other galaxy. I guess it was. I thought we'd passed.
And these are
it.
All galaxies.
Well, then these are all. There's a great picture. There's a great picture on the internet of a few months ago.
Wow.
Of like a picture of like millions of galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is like galaxies of galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an actual picture that they took from the Hubble, I guess, somehow. You can look for it. It's amazing. It's just like...
Look at this chain.
Yeah. But it's actual. So that was
all galaxies that we're flying through.
And then we...
I love the reflection.
Pull back into the reflection. There's Jenna Malone.
Mm-hmm.
This film actually has one of the best mind-blowing compositions I've seen in a movie, and I'll point it out when it comes up.
Okay.
The first time I saw it in the theater, my jaw dropped. It's so beautifully thought out. That's David Morse, am I correct?
Is that
yes,
yes
it is.
That is David Morse.
Yep.
Several people insist that I remind them of David Morse.
Who got his start on St. Elsewhere.
Indeed.
Well, his big break on St. Elsewhere. Along with Denzel Washington and Howie Mandel.
Have you seen him in Sean Penn's first film, The Indian Runner?
The motorcycle film?
Yes. No, that's the world's fastest Indian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I have seen The Indian Runner.
He's pretty amazing in that movie.
Yeah, I don't like that movie too much.
No, I mean, it's got its flaws, but...
Yeah.
Viggo did that too, Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good one.
I had to... Yeah, that was one of the films I had to review at work.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. And that by far has one of the grossest yet natural images in a film like I've ever seen. You know what I'm talking about. I'm like, what is that?
Yes.
As I remember, that was foundational. Her character to put her hair behind her ear.
Right. Mm-hmm. They
That's a character trait that goes throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, when we first see Jodie Foster in just a few minutes, you see she'll do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we know they're the same person. Mm-hmm. Now that's the thing.
And we go through this window.
Yes, we do.
This shot.
Oh, technically, this thing is amazing.
The fluidity of camera movement is really impressive in this film.
Yeah.
I remember that. The last time I saw this was probably 97.
And the script is... really? The script is pretty tight, actually. I don't mind the script. It's the directing a little bit that I mind. Because everything gets tied in here about how she misses her mother and how about the radio and trying to reach. It's all pointing to the metaphor of trying to communicate and how she becomes mm-hmm. unable to communicate because mm-hmm. her parents are gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not subtle. It hits you over the head with it.
It's a good point, but yeah,
sentimentality
exactly.
Ideas there. But I dug it. It wasn't dry. It wasn't a dry approach. It had
it shows up at the end, right?
That's her image in her head of the best place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the aliens used to be friendly to her.
Yep.
For the environment to make contact with her.
Yep.
If there are aliens.
Oh, there are.
Are there?
I take him at his word. Absolutely.
Always moving. The camera's always moving. A good deal.
Well,
there's not a lot of
it moves.
It
moves well, and it's always motivated. Always motivated.
That's a catchphrase. Awful waste of space.
Mm-hmm. And that really hit me when I was younger, this movie. When he said, "If it is just us, it seems like an awful lot of waste of space."
Wow. Yeah. When you saw it in the theater.
Yeah. Okay. That stuck with me for a long time.
So there were in the movie when you saw it that did impress you.
Yeah.
Were you into space and science fiction before that?
No, I was never really a huge science fiction fan.
So this turned you on to science fiction?
This is where she says, no, I hate science fiction.
No, I was...
I always hated it. I always will.
No, I like science fiction. It's just my favorite thing, but I enjoy it.
And Jenna Malone is gone.
There goes the hair behind the ear.
Miss Jenna Malone. Oh, well, okay.
Jodie Foster has a huge beef with the director of this film because he messed with her face with CG. He did not like how she raised her eyebrow in one of the takes, and so he corrected it in post. And she said, "I don't mind you using your CG for your effects, but lay off my face. Keep off my performance."
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there is one scene, towards the end, where they do basically blend her face and Jenna Malone's face. Mm-hmm. Quite effectively. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting. Yeah, this is where it starts going off the rails for me.
I liked it up till
What's
now.
The reason? Yes. What's the reason? Why is it going off the rails for you?
I don't like any of the other characters.
I like the one guy, especially the guy who has a crush on her, who's very quiet.
Oh, which one?
I'll, when he comes on screen, he hasn't gotten there yet. When he shows up, I'll point him out to you. I thought he did a really nice job.
That's an interesting camera angle.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
lot of interesting camera angles
now,
in this movie.
Now, I wanted to talk about this when I was watching it. I just watched it like a few days ago, and I was struck by, this is supposed to take place in the 90s. It's supposed to take place 97-ish.
Right.
Because Clinton is ostensibly the president. And it was interesting that they made the choice, it happens now, and we make it seem as if it's now. So now we're 14 years later.
That's him, I'm sorry.
That's William Fichtner.
That's the guy.
Oh, I love William Fichtner.
His role in this
is great. He does
well in this picture.
He's a really good actor.
He really is.
He was on Prison Break, the TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't like him the first season he was on. I mean, you respect him. But then they turned him actually into a good guy, and he was really great. And when he did the show Invasion also, he was actually really, really good. I never noticed him before.
This is the first time I ever saw him, 97, and... he made an impression on me in this film.
Yeah.
Well, because he totally changes everything he does.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's really, really good. He's really into the whole I'm blind and I completely use hearing to hear everything.
And I love his crush on her. I really felt for him.
I never got that he had a crush.
Mm-hmm, I'll show you the scene especially.
Oh, please.
But you're saying you have a problem with this film because it takes place in 97.
Well, I was just pointing that it takes place in 97, but now here we are 14 years later. So this hasn't happened, obviously, and it means the problems with situating of something like this at a time in history, because then we go the things that give it away are the hairstyles, the technology. If you look at the monitors, we don't have CRTs anymore.
So you're saying production design, they should have futurized it a bit.
It's not. It's the challenge of if you're doing something and when you're going to set it, just inherent in making it. How do you, do you say, we're going to set it 20 years from now, or do we set it in the present? And then how do you deal with the problems of what the technology is going to be at the time? So then as the film ages, then how do you, in other words, you deal with such a big fictional event that relies on something big, technology, and situates it. You have Clinton, you have the technology, you have the hairstyles I'm just joking about. But, I mean, even cell phones play nothing in this. Now cell phones would be all over this.
Well, always the problem when you're doing something that has an expanse of time and you go, if you ever go into the future.
If you go into the future with technology, especially,
yeah,
oh, yeah. That's the hardest giveaway. Thing to do.
Well, yeah, well, Blade Runner is a great example of that. You know, it's not going to be like that in 2019. We know that for sure.
No, that's where they went, you know, too far.
It's well, jetpack, well that's jetpack, no, for yeah. that, they should have just gone like, you know, let's do 2119. It's beyond anything sure. we're ever going to experience in our lifetime, so we won't have yeah. to worry about it.
Hopefully the film until, will last that long.
Until like, 2119, at which point they laugh and go like, haha, is that what they thought it was going to be like?
Well, yeah.
I was just, it was an interesting idea I was kind of intrigued by. Oh, here we go.
Here's Matthew You're not a fan of Matthew McConaughey by your...
You know, I liked him in a Time to Kill.
Yeah. And then that's about it.
And yeah, and then here I was like, just like, oh, Matthew McConaughey. And I've heard people like rag on him before. And like, there's some people who just like absolutely hate him, think he's just like the devil when it comes to acting. And I was like, nah, nah, nah. And this one, I'm like,
maybe
he started getting on my nerves on this film.
He did an interview and they were asking him about his character. And he said, I basically play the chick in this movie. And if you
film?
Watch the
wow.
setup,
okay,
he is.
Yeah, he does.
He's the
okay.
girl.
That's good.
She's the guy in this picture.
I don't deny that he's talented and that he knows what he's doing. He just does what he does. It's just, it got a little my nerves.
I like his...
Not as much
I
as
like
other people.
His, he seems, as an actor, he seems very comfortable. He seems very centered.
He's
and I really
great like that,
enjoy
yeah.
that about him. Some of his character choices I don't like, but...
Well,
and the constant beach...
That's
you know,
the thing.
Vocalization
he doesn't stuff. Really have character choices. He just plays himself all the time, which kind of gets boring.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Taylor, are you a fan of Jodie Foster? What do you think of her
I
work?
Do love Jodie Foster.
What are the attributes you feel that she brings to her
I think
roles?
She is always very connected to the material and understands the character, where the character is coming from. And I think she's very honest as an actor, which mm-hmm. I appreciate.
And I think for the most part, she is. There are a few moments, and it's sort of like I'm looking and like, is this Jodie Foster? Is this the director saying, no, I want you to go further? And that's part of the problems I have with this film are those moments where she, it's like, and it's more the directing. And mm-hmm. I'll show you like one scene that sticks in my mind. That oh, compass. Let's talk about this for a second. Okay. She gets the compass. She gives it to him. He gives it to her. She gives it to him. He gives it back to her by the end of the film. I'm like, oh. Just do it like once or twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it does save her life. Now, that's the thing, interesting thing. It does save her life because if she mm-hmm. didn't go for the compass at the end, she would have been in a chair and been killed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, oh yeah. That's
right.
No, this film is full of setups.
This film is
later.
All about you think...
Something insignificant becomes something significant.
Well, you think you have choices in your life and you think... I mean, it's not that she says she doesn't believe in God and they do kind of beat that drum somewhat, but that...
Wow. You must have got a deal on red Jeeps.
By the way, I'll get back to this in a second. Tom Skerritt is fantastic in this film because he's such a likable guy, and he plays such an asshole. But even something like this, the thing is that she wants to be the first person in there, and he is an asshole, and he beats her out of it, you know, and what happens? He dies. In other words, there was a hand pushing her to where she had to be in this. Essentially, there was a spiritual, if you want, godlike hand doing that. Which challenges everything that she believes in. So, completing that thesis.
I do love the fact that her character, she is smug in her ideas and her convictions and black and white and the arc of her character to go from science, analytical only, to faith and to... unexplained areas that you can't explain and to embrace those rather than, you know what I'm saying? As her character in this film.
And you
goes from one side to the other. And I like that.
I think you just explained, you made me realize something. I'm totally with her. I mean, you want to call me smug? I don't consider myself smug, but I'm totally with her conviction of what she's trying to follow. And I'm with her totally. Don't ask me because that's who I am or because the movie's done a good job. But I think that's why Matthew McConaughey's character gets on my nerves because he's constantly challenging it around. I'm like, shut up. She's right, not you. So that may be why he annoys me. Mm-hmm. I know he could be right, but I'm like, no, don't annoy me with the faith thing. The science thing is there. I see it. I understand it. So that could be part of it.
But she stretches to be bigger than herself at the end of the film than she is at the beginning and becomes more than... Only believing what she sees.
But what stretches her?
Experience.
the experience of going through the wormhole is what does it. She has that.
It opens her up to embrace things she can't explain.
Right. She has the extra human experience, which is what they actually want to do, because that's part of the alien's plan. Give one person the extra human experience, and that
is your messenger.
That messenger, exactly. That notion will spread in time so that more people can accept that. All right, I'm done.
And break.
Because really, it's the two different worlds. He's the he represents the religious element coming up from that, and she represents science. And that's what their characters are used for, to create the dialogue back and forth of how to approach things.
But still, he's a kind of loosey-goosey religious thing. He's not like super religious. They kind of they make like the Robbo, the religious nut. So in a way, it's kind of fakey. It's like they say, well, we're going to go in this direction, but not completely.
They play it safe.
Yes, exactly.
It was played safe.
And
this nice green screen right here for the time.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
You are correct. The effects in this are all really, really nice.
Now I'm totally looking for tearing.
Well, then in that case, before at the party scene, that was all green screen.
I mean, are we sure this is green screen?
I don't think so.
And not a big Eurotrans?
I think.
Or you think it's a backdrop?
I think they're there. I think they're on location.
They're not on location.
Dude, I think they're totally on location.
I think it's a Eurotrans. Joke, right?
I'm looking at all that, the whole array.
The stars are on location. That star field is on location.
Okay, the stars are put in. But that whole telescope part, how they've got all that in perspective.
Yeah, I think you're looking at a Eurotrans with a forced perspective piece.
I think they're going out of focus on the plate in the background, which is on a green screen.
All right, that's cool.
And now we'll have to find out.
I guess we will.
Oh, push in.
What about
if you look at her hair? Look at her hair.
What about this special effect?
The hair against green screen. That's the hair is what's giving it away to me.
His hair is more problematic than hers.
That's due to effects.
Okay.
Optical.
I guess the fact that we don't know.
It says a lot to the filmmakers in 1997.
Now, this is nice visual communication that we know how many stars that she's already
listened to.
And that's right. Visual communication to me, there's so many juicy cinematic things in this film. It just won me over.
Absolutely. Zemeckis is a great visual filmmaker. I think it's in the setup with the characters and the character moments where I think it kind of gets a little mucky and longish and mawkish. And this is a cliche. Or 18 minutes in and they sleep together already? Ugh.
Well, the reason he dropped out of seminary school is because he couldn't deal with the celibacy.
Yes.
Okay. I got that part.
Clearly he's a horn dog.
And if you're going to hire a horn dog to get a horn dog to play a horn dog?
No. I mean, just saying that his character...
Are you trying to tell me?
His character explained he dropped out because he couldn't deal with the celibacy, so...
So, therefore...
They've set it up so that it's okay to sleep with him, I guess.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about that. It's just the fact that, they have to sleep together in the first 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I had nothing to do with the seminary.
No. That has to do with good filmmaking. Good quality cinema.
Chabow.
I guess it's to make the connections so that they connect later. It's like, where did you go? And actually, you're right. Actually, in a way, he is the chick, and she is the guy, because she lives him. She's like, see you, bye.
No, he totally is playing the chick role in a stereotypical setup.
Okay. All right.
She's the one who goes on the mission. She's the one that's calling the shots and so much of those things. She has the cojones going, and he's the one trying to support her and then getting miffed because she's always leaving him and she comes back. I mean,
But then he tries to turn it around and pull a guy move on her when he keeps her off the flight and keeps her off the mission, the test. Because he's the one who asks her later on about them. I got to say, I like how this is directed because I like the transition there. They finished the scene and then they came back the next day and then started on the picture and then moved into that.
To me, that was too obvious. It was that this is our break point so we can do another setup.
But it's subtle enough that you can do that. I mean, if you know about it to look at
it. Wait, is this the next day? Is that what you're saying?
Likely. It was another time. He's totally the chick.
You know what's nice about this is the way they set it up. His character couldn't be a woman, though. I was just thinking, you could take a lot of stories and just switch the characters. But because of the whole, he was studying to be a priest, it would be hard to do that for a female character.
He could have been a nun.
I was just going to say that.
Aha!
Who was? Oh, you were?
I beat Taylor to the punch.
No, I was not a nun.
Oh.
He could have been a nun if he was
a
she.
Yeah, you just but that's, change it.
Yeah, but what?
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's okay. It is what it is. See, she's thinking now. She's reminded about the stars. Mission.
She comes from breathing school of acting. I noticed when she gets emotional, she does the breathing. Mm-hmm. Michael J. Fox did the same thing.
What do you mean the breathing?
She was breathing very deeply because she was into something and she was trying to handle something. And so the breathing ramps up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like I've seen her do that many times. When she's immersed emotionally in something.
Coming Up is the one shot that I think is absolutely incredible.
Is it the one down the hall under the mirror?
Yes.
That's the one I told you that my jaw hit the floor.
Yes.
Is it right here?
This is it.
Oh, the heart attack scene? Okay.
The heart attack. She looks down the hallway. They're going to go to
Is this all one shot from here?
They're going to go to the reverse.
No. Where does it start to be one shot?
Let's look.
Because this is truly the finest moment of the film, in my opinion.
I think this may be it. Hang on. She's there. She looks down the stairs. There's a shot. She sees the popcorn spilled. It's nice.
And the popcorn spilled in the shape of stars.
Yeah, subtle.
What? Sometimes maybe it's just popcorn. Jen Malone is awesome. She's fantastic. Look at this. It's all her.
Is it when it cuts into slow motion and then it's the one shot?
No, but it's the one shot before it is what's amazing. Here we go.
But wait, cut?
Hang on. Here it is. Now we're into the shot. It's all one shot now. We're still here. It's all going to be that. They go up the stairs. They pull back.
And go slow-mo right there.
The slow-mo.
This is the shot I remember.
But this all still the same shot. Remember, we came from the bottom of the stairs.
And you're not looking at her. You're actually... You're on the opposite side because you go into the mirror.
See,
and you're behind her the whole time.
Wow.
See?
Wow. I did not.
And then look, it closes.
Wow.
And look, it closes and you go into another reflection.
Yeah. Hang on.
What are we looking at?
All those pills. That's the point, he was missing his pills
into
the picture.
That's an awesome shot.
That's great storytelling.
That was
great visual storytelling.
Beautifully realized.
So they must have made the cut essentially when she came around, and I guess when it went to the slow-mo, somehow they matched. I don't even know. I would want to know how to do that. That's amazing.
Very slick.
Oh, amazing.
Is that we have some toys and we're going to use them. That's what I saw.
He's a great technical director. Great, great, great.
Who's the DP? Do we know?
I forget.
Yeah, hang on.
It is worth noting.
His name is really good.
Let me go to the
guy.
Intertubes.
Yeah.
I was ready for her to totally lip off on this guy. At which point I would have told him to shut up.
And that's good because it really sets up who she is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For the rest of the picture, you know where she's coming from when Matthew McConaughey comes at her.
Right. Don Burgess was a DP.
What else has he done? Does it give a filmography?
Let me go. Stop it.
Just put in context.
Alan Silvestri did the music, by the way.
Right.
I think the music is brilliant in this one. I love
it. It has
music.
The Forrest Gump sound.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better than Forrest Gump. Ooh, someone was smoking.
Yeah, I was
people still
say that.
Smoke
people,
in the movies?
People were smoking, and it's 97?
This is great. I mean, I love the setup, and I love that she's doing that.
This is symbolic.
This is in the 70s, right? Is this part in the 70s, and 97 is the current day stuff?
Yeah, 97's current, so I guess it's 15, 20 years before the 70s.
Judging by her outfit.
I like how they didn't say specifically what year it is in the 70s, although I'm sure they know.
Yeah.
Talk about symbolism.
And out through the window pane again.
Oh, yeah.
She's trying to make contact. Dad just died, and she's reaching out, trying to make that connection.
Which is
and look at that CG in the window right now. That's where it goes bad. That's where it goes bad with her, and that's CG in the window.
Really? I don't think it's bad.
On a big screen, trust me.
Okay.
It dated horribly. But the thought was good.
And the nice thing is now...
Of the trees? I thought it was quite good. But
No, her inside the window.
Right, right.
She goes from real to CG. The
nice thing is that now we've gotten all the flashbacks we need. We've gotten,
you know who she is.
We know who she is. We saw before. We saw her with her father who died. We saw her at the funeral, and that's it. And basically, Jenna Malone only appears like briefly at the end.
Yeah, we know why she is the way she is.
Okay. I think he worked a lot with Zemeckis. He did, like, he did Castaway, and he did... Oh, is this it?
So that's on location.
He did Book of Eli. This guy.
Shot with the Red One camera.
Yep. Jim?
But this is...
Don Burgess did the Book of Eli.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is on location. That is not green screen.
Right. That's what I'm thinking is that
this
all the other things...
This is another good shot right here.
Oh, all of this is great.
Because I think they continue to come out of the Jeep with her.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think. I haven't seen this for 13
years. Yeah,
Don
Burgess did Forrest Gump. I like that Tom Skerritt just... He doesn't even
Yeah, they
budge.
Do. So they get out of the Jeep and go right
Everyone's just
it.
Standing, and Tom Skerritt's just like, nah, I ain't moving. And in that sense, it's very clear directing. It's like, we know who this guy is.
So trivia, what was Tom Skerritt's character name in Alien?
Alien?
Yeah.
I love his character here. I really love his
Taylor's
character.
Taylor's thinking, processing.
I
listening audience, I'm sure someone
it's
knows.
It's the only way I can do it is by talking about something else. But
Dallas.
Ah, there you go.
That's it.
He almost played nice guys. Here he got to play a real jerk. And I don't like his character, but I like how his character is. It's the other supporting characters, some of them, that get on my nerves, and you'll see them pop up soon. Not Fitchner. And there's the compass. Okay.
Call me.
It's, yeah,
Check
there you
note.
Go.
Yeah.
That's very...
Please go. And what does she do? She leaves it. Oh.
Her mind is elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like she's calling him.
Her mind is on the mission.
She's breathing. She's breathing.
Oh.
Dig.
Yeah. I like what Fitchner's doing with his hand. Like, he always has his right hand, like, basically across his chest.
His physicalization
is great.
Is nice.
Yeah.
That would be...
Well, he's almost by his heart, but not quite.
But if you hold a cane, seeing eye cane. I mean, not a seeing eye cane, but, you know, a cane to the blind. It's much longer than a regular cane, and you hold it up higher.
Oh, so he's just used to holding his hand up there.
I think that's his character choice. It's actually quite a good one.
Nice.
The guy thought some stuff through.
Okay. So now, this scene...
Seeing eye cane.
Seeing eye cane.
Yeah, the seeing eye cane.
Technical
around.
Term.
I got it. I don't know. Whatever.
John Hurt, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's good visual communication. Me personally, I just don't like how unsure she seems in this scene.
Well, it can be, she is a scientist and she is geared that way. People skills are different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's very, I think, a true assessment of what someone could be in this situation.
Okay.
Coming from, I mean, as far as society and dealing with people.
No,
that's not her forte.
Well,
she's been by herself.
And
she's
what they've set
insular
up
person.
As her backstory, she isolates herself.
Right, insular.
Naturally. She doesn't make connections with others. She doesn't trust people. So that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
And this guy is the total D-bag.
She's not a people person.
Yeah.
That she's talking
to. Her physicalization
to.
Is
She's
wonderful.
Jumping through hoops that she doesn't want to jump through, and she can't. She doesn't have the skills to shoot the SHIT, you know, and get her money. Nice desk.
Now, look at the totally different physicalization. Arms are free, moving, dynamic.
She's a nerd.
And now she knows she's blown it.
Right.
So she's just putting it out there now. Right. She's not. She's unbridled.
She's a nerd. That's why I like her. And this guy's just like,
in the suits.
What are you talking?
Are not moved.
Just look on his face. He's just like, what? I don't care about listening to you.
But John Hurt likes her.
Well, of course.
He's making the call. because he's eccentric.
And even the way he says it, look, he still doesn't give in, this guy.
Look at the light on her. Look at her eyes.
Oh, it's brilliant. The catch lights. Look at this. He's like, ugh.
I like that. Nice touch.
We couldn't afford an outbuilding. We just have to listen right here at the base of the receiver.
Yeah. Nice backlight.
This is my old Impala.
And that's the image of the poster.
Oh, was
it? Car.
Was
sitting
it?
There in the dishes. Yeah.
Now, is this a character we've seen before?
No.
No.
This is the project that she now has 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's the guy we've seen in the van, but this guy at the pole I haven't seen. Taylor, what's your favorite Jodie Foster role?
Let me think for a moment about that one.
Okay. Do you have a favorite Jodie Foster, Jim? Part?
You know, I don't really. She's always solid and always wonderful, but
yeah,
she's also, there's a masculinity about her that I don't always find easy to embrace. As an actress, she's always committed and convincing. I didn't actually see her last two or three films. The one with the child on the airplane was one of them.
It's not very good.
Yeah. I saw that. It wasn't great.
No. Flight Plan?
Yes.
Flight Plan.
Mm-hmm. And then Panic Room, wasn't that her?
Mm-hmm. Panic Room was her. It was originally supposed to be Nicole Kidman, right, but she had to drop out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jodie Foster took over. And she did, I think, The Brave One?
Yep.
Is that it? That
was the one Silver where she picture, goes around and shooting bad guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw The Accused.
She's great in that.
Oh, yeah.
It was Oscar. She's
really great.
Strong Oscar in that. For that.
And I liked her in Silence of the Lambs. I thought she
what a beautiful
was
shot.
Perfect
me.
For that role.
It's a good shot. It's not projection or green screen either.
Mm-mm.
Gorgeous.
It's magic hour. If you look at it, it's like right at it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful shot. And while, I mean, she's got some light here in the front of her, so I'm not sure where the instrument is, but it's very subtle.
It doesn't look lit.
To reflect her.
It doesn't look lit.
So it's nice. It's a nice balance. It's likely, good exposure.
It's likely reflector with a silk over it. Anyway. Now going back to the whole placing in terms of time. I mean, it's sort of like creating like a fictional reality. And like we have our reality now, and now we create our alternate reality where we still have some of the same people. We have President mm-hmm. Clinton. We have Larry King. I mean, you kind of, as opposed to completely creating fictional, you know, fictional president and fictional talk show hosts type of thing. I guess that's my distinction.
That you like, you're saying you
well,
like
I don't know
it,
how,
or you find it maybe a flaw or a potential flaw.
I think, I don't know if it's distracting. I mean, I think it was done maybe here to make it seem more authentic or more now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that maybe if you fictionalize everything, that you can basically transport yourself and say, well, that's the movie reality and I can buy all into it type
of
thing.
So it isn't rooted in our real life.
Right. And maybe that makes it easier to believe it. Oh, I love this shot because you know what this is? This is the signal coming in. This is where the signal coming in right now
mm-hmm.
that she's about to get. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. So, yeah.
There's another great shot
That's awesome.
I think it's coming up soon.
This movie somehow makes listening to noise for, you know, from outer space sexy somehow and interesting.
Well,
it's like they've made watching paint dry sexy somehow. It's amazing.
Now, I mean, these shots of her controlling all these massive telescopes.
That's great.
I'm sorry, you told me a second ago who the DP was, and he
Don Burgess.
Don Burgess.
Don Burgess.
Yeah.
Just awesome.
And that's all practical. And this is a great moment. And it's all audio. And then she realizes it.
ECU.
Boom. And she's staring right into that camera. It's just great that she was able to get this. I mean, this is great material. And that she was able to get this film.
And we have stars in the background. That was all nice effect.
Yeah. You know, I mean, she's done some films the past decade, which I really don't think were up to her caliber of what she could offer. You know, Flight Plan, I think, was a nice entertainment, but ultimately, like,
yeah.
And then also in with the Clive Owen thing, Inside Job or whatever, didn't care for her part there. She was very good in A Very Long Engagement. I think we've talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
This is the shot I was talking about coming up. It's another great traveling shot. It's when her car comes up to the building that she's going to.
And it's a long continuous shot.
And it goes in the door with her.
You're right, yes.
It's just really cool stuff.
These guys are annoying. Freaking
annoying.
Frank. They are annoying to me. They really are.
They haven't done anything for how long?
They've just been annoying.
And that's a nice look at this reflection in the rearview mirror. I think was an effect, actually.
See, they were asleep on the job. They weren't paying attention to the signal coming in. They were.
But how much time has gone by? They've been there for how many months or with nothing happening?
Why is he acting like a complete and utter... I can understand your frustration.
Thank you. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, this is contrived suspense.
Exactly. And I think it's the contrived suspense I don't like. In other words, make it real suspense.
See that reflection in the...
Nice.
That's effect. That's not real.
Oh, okay. Sure. In other words, this guy knows what he's doing. You should be like, okay, boom. So now, obvious, I mean, the science, I don't know exactly, but I'm going to guess that all the science was interesting. I just like also that she's talking on the walkie. It's a great way to communicate. Of course, now it wouldn't be walkies. It'd be a cell phone, which would be annoying.
And that's a studio. That was not location.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a studio shot.
That was good.
That right there is a studio to me.
I can see that. But that's done well.
Mm-hmm.
That's done very well.
They love their Steadicam.
Yeah. I like that this is important to them, and I have no idea what it is, but
here's
I don't
care. Here's the shot. Let's watch.
So this is all one shot? Great.
Because we had a crane. We craned down.
Guy steps off of the crane. He's on the Steadicam. He follows her in. Okay, there's no cut. I love that she stays on the
walkie-talkie. And she thought she was going through one door on the right. She went on the left. And now we're up the stairs with her?
Yep.
This is great,
wow,
man.
And that's some good steady camming.
Then we go in!
And that's why they held back, so she could throw them open for them. That's right.
And we come back. And then we have this.
Awesome.
And we get a magic
out
hour.
Out to the effects.
But it's...
That's blue screen.
Damn it.
That's blue screen.
How do we know?
It's Robert Zemeckis. He shoots a lot of blue screen.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that one. He could have just patched it in. But okay, all right. I'll give it. So I like I just like all the things we're learning. Like it could be AWACS,
yeah.
All these different things, and then how they have access to this information. I mean, in a way, you know, you're using what I'm hoping that what they're saying is it would be accurate in a situation. They're saying it truthfully enough, I guess, so that I can buy it. It's almost like Star Trek talk. Mm-hmm. Only it actually probably is real Star Trek talk.
I'm sure it is.
Catchphrase, right? Whatever it is, it ain't local.
actually, if that's how it works into the whole 26, there and back, 52 years, I think. Because the signal they get back is from the 1936 Olympics.
Oh.
I love this when it cuts out. It's awesome.
End of the movie.
Okay, we're going to go on.
Credits roll.
That's it. We just thought we'd say hi, and we're never calling back again. See, that would be cool.
That would be fun.
Years would go by before they hear the signal again. Hmm. It ruins her life. She's like 60 years old, and it starts up again, and they come and find her. But you don't
suspense.
Like that?
Suspense.
You don't like that?
No, I think that would be an interesting...
It'd be a nice prologue.
And then she goes through the...
In other words, this would have been the prologue, and then it just ends, and then we have the real movie start.
But she touches it, and it starts...
Yeah, that was kind of... Okay, now here it gets a little too much. We have to, hammer on the head time. It's prime numbers.
It's prime numbers,
Come on. Now, how many times... let's see how we have to get the explanation that it's prime numbers. See, we have to see it. He's written 7 on paper.
And yet the computer's also... putting it in there.
That's right. And he's got to count on his fingers.
I'm not bothered by it.
Whoa. Was that high speed or what?
Okay, so he types fast. That's good.
Mm-hmm. I like the crosstalk.
Yeah, they're very Altman-esque.
That feels James Cameron to me.
The photon torpedoes. Yes.
That directing
very,
right through
very
there.
Very James Cameron.
Yeah. See that? I feel like they're in a slightly different film than she is.
Yeah.
That's, I think, my thing. They're like
why? Because they're goofier.
They're the goofy, wacky supporting characters.
They're the wacky neighbors in the sitcom.
Yeah, almost. The goofy. You know. Yeah.
Jansky.
Whereas Fitchner is more. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad acting. It's just they're doing what they're doing. Absolutely.
It's popcorn slickness. I mean,
it's almost Joel Schumacher-ish. Ooh, dude, I call it like a
Schumacher-ish or Schumacher-esque. What's proper?
I don't care. Schumacher-esque.
Schumacherina.
No.
I like that shirt.
See now, this is simple. They're doing what they're doing.
That's 100 numbers.
No, that's not. Not prime numbers.
From 2 to 101, is that
not, not prime? 100? Not prime, no.
Prime.
You know what you need? You need Roy Scheider standing on one of the ladders on one of those dishes from 2010, remember? That whole sequence? That'd be a nice tie-in.
I guess you're right.
So wait,
I didn't like that film, by the way.
Now, a second ago, she was saying we have to confirm this or we're cooked.
Yeah.
Oh, they confirmed it with the other.
Yeah,
Ian.
Because basically, other people have seen it all around the world. Oh. Now we get the whole thing of like the American
James
government
Woods.
Saying, "Well, we're in charge because you're there." So, and they're scared again.
It's a nice shot. The choreography of that shot was really cool.
Oh yeah, and it's all. I'm going to come back. He does a great job. And how he's written also and directed. He's just like, all these people are below him. And it's just the way he operates. You know, Ellie's barely there. Her crew is like not insignificantly there. The relationship is kind of unique to what you usually see. She's looking like, don't you know, guys? School. High school.
James Woods just staring her down.
He's a big guy. And
I think she's a
short.
Tiny person.
Yeah, she?
He's not particularly big.
Oh,
I've
no?
met him.
Okay. I always thought she was taller. Okay. Way to go, Joe. Yep. And like the little move around.
He's doing a lot of staring.
Yep. And then she just blows him off. I still see guys with guns in the room, but whatever. See, the one in the back. Oh, he was just waiting for his cue to move. Oh, I just saw that. Oh.
Who?
The guy, the soldier was waiting for his cross. He was waiting for a single from the AD off camera.
Mm.
Yeah, being an AD is not exactly an easy job, setting up your background. There's some people who do it great. I saw a movie recently that was just incredible. I think it's pretty good in this one. I haven't noticed any of the background. And that's usually when you know it's not as good, because that's when you notice the background.
There's a lot of movement and blocking choreography in this.
Yeah, well choreographed. Yeah, and you get your different layers. You get the foreground. You got the middle layer. I like how the guy popped up back there. Very subtle. And I like that this is our first hint, you know, because his skill being blind is that he can hear definitely lots of complexities.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
See, that's a green screen, that window.
Well, I was convinced. They did very well.
I'm not saying it's not convincing. I'm just saying it's an effect.
Oh, no,
that's
how
good it is.
No, I'm saying
that's
what
you're sure
that's
a green screen behind him now?
Yeah, that's
all
what
the stuff is green screen.
Yeah.
This film was a quantum jump in green screen stuff when it came out.
Now, a shot like that, I would have just used a Duratrans. I don't know why you'd have to use a green screen.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, maybe. Huh. This guy's accent is a riot.
I love how he looks so disturbed, too.
I know. It's audio, dude. You know, it's funny. At every moment, I just keep on coming back to it. He's always undercutting her.
Mm-hmm.
He never gives her any apparent respect whatsoever.
This is James Woods' reaction on this is funny.
Well,
where he says, this is a security issue now.
Yeah. I mean, this was really intriguing seeing it the first time. It's like, what the hell is going on? Which was really cool because it's like everyone's in the same boat figuring out, like, what is it? But it's the truth. That was the first TV broadcast.
Look at James Woods right here. It's great.
Yep. So I thought that was really good. And of course, the blind dude's the one who speaks German.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he
can do anything.
Yeah.
Because he's blind.
That's right. It's like superhuman.
He's the magic man. He's the magic blind person.
I like how the soldiers are moving towards the monitor because it's going to do something. Yeah.
It's right because it's Hitler.
That's
it's
a subtle.
Because, like, watch out.
What's her name?
Angela Bassett.
That's right.
And once
what's
again,
love got
he
to do with
it? Stomps
yeah.
on her.
Exactly. He totally jumps ahead of her. Everyone here, I mean, it's amazing, you know. I mean, I said she plays a nerd, but she plays a smart nerd, and these people are all kind of dumb compared to her. They mm-hmm. really are, the politicians, and it's like... They don't really use their smarts too much. Now, here they're using actual broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cameos in this picture.
And... Very good.
I think they got in trouble a little bit for this, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I have a vague recollection of
something.
Who
got in trouble for
this? They didn't,
the filmmaker?
Clinton didn't like them using this speech for the movie or something like that. I don't remember exactly the whole story. But.
Yeah.
And this is very Forrest Gump, using actual footage mm-hmm. integrated into your make-believe story.
Right. And it's really cool how basically now the way it's all constructed. I mean, look at that. It's really well blocked and everything's moving in on Ellie, and you know she's ready with her cards and everything, and this kind of really puts the point forward. Oh, man. Okay, so that's in terms of that, when he's, you know, he discovers that during the speech, I'm like, it's like convenient writing.
Really?
It's like, yeah. Right at that moment, I discovered it. I don't know.
I agree. It's slick.
It is super slick. It is super slick.
This is a slick film.
The seams are showing. Let's put it that way. But you can run. You can go like, oh, yeah, sure. Would I prefer more elegant? Yeah. But I can understand how it works.
I never read the book, so I don't know the problems that were inherent in getting it to the screen.
I don't think the book was as explicit in terms of a plot. And honestly, I never read the books. So I don't know. But the impression I get is this was much more of a movie than it was. And this is just such a great setup. She's like, you. And that was great because all they had to do is, technically, in terms of setting up the shot, they just moved the video camera over, and they've never even moved. It's still on her, and he's moved over. So it's a really brilliant use of using the frame frames within frames.
Nice composition, yeah.
Excellent, yeah. And look at that. She's just
deflated.
It's all being taken away from her. And this, but the whole thing is it means so much to her. It really does, because obviously there's a text and there's subtext.
Mm-hmm.
It means to her because what it is, and then also the subtext of essentially finding her, you know, her father, so to speak, who she lost.
What was the movie with Jodie Foster and Richard Gere? Summersby?
Yes.
That got all the huge flack?
Because
no one believed Gere's role and no one believed Jodie Foster's.
Really?
In the romance. Yeah, it was like,
huh.
Right? I'm not, well, am I alone in this? Gay. Remember Summersby? There was this whole big thing of, yeah, well, I don't believe either.
What?
I don't know.
I don't care. But it was a remake of The Return of Martin Gere with Gerard Depardieu.
But it was one of those where...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, there was the reception was not good to the romance of it.
Hmm.
And it was sort of along what Jim had said, that Jodie Foster strikes him as a little more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing her in...
I got to tell you...
Certain roles.
I got to tell you, she was in a very long engagement. And I'd say completely different. She was extremely feminine. She was very good in that role.
Well, not only her presence, but also she's so sculpted.
Okay.
I mean, her physical sculpted
she's
appearance.
She's chiseled.
She's
pretty.
Yeah,
it's tight.
Always lean.
It's tight.
Yeah.
And Maverick, I remember there was a.
Oh, I loved her in Maverick. It was cute.
It was light. It was cute, what it was.
But
it was playful. But it wasn't a serious.
As far
film.
As being a feminine love interest, there was flack around that as well. I think, I recall.
Well, I'll go back to A Very Private Engagement, and I think Taylor will back me up.
Yeah, I thought she did a movie too, Anna and the King.
Yeah.
And oh, how was she?
Yeah, she was. I believed her.
Oh, wow.
Anna and the King is a nice movie.
It is. It's a very beautiful movie.
That's with Chow Yun-fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
What's your problem, Serge?
I don't know.
it starts to become a little bit unbelievable that they're giving her no respect whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That they're not believing her at all. It's just like she's, I mean...
Yeah, and whatever power they give her, they're like... With
is
the,
it because she's
know,
a woman? I mean,
we
is that
get
what
to pull it away from you at any moment.
Is it because she's a woman?
Well, also, I
this
think it's...
Young woman?
I think it's the White House trying to control it, so they want to put their man at the head of the project.
But that's what I don't necessarily buy. I feel like it's fake. It's fake suspense, fake drama. That's what, like you're saying. That's what I think bugs me. It's like it's fake confrontation, fake conflict.
The screen lower right is showing his plane that he's in as he's watching this telecast. I like that.
You know what? I never realized
his pilots.
You know
his
what?
Rooms.
Thank you. I never realized who this was.
Yeah, it's John Hurt.
It's Haddon. I never realized that. Thank you for pointing that out. Now this makes sense. I was like,
"That's your
clue. What the hell is this scene?" Yeah. I have no idea what this is.
I just saw Jay Leno outside.
Oh, was he at Whole Foods?
No, he was on the street driving some really, really old, funky car.
Yeah, he drives. He comes down to this Whole Foods sometimes.
Yeah, well, it must have been where he was then.
Yes. Actually, I really like this guy's how he reports this. I like how he does his voice, and I like how this is all.
I kind
of
buy it.
It's really cool, and it's a really cool shot. Of course, I feel bad for all the people who are out there. Now, that said,
I think that was a mixture of CG morphed into actual footage.
I get what they're doing. I don't like how this is directed. I understand there's a caravan going through, and there's all sorts of bunch of weird people, and the point is for her. The point here is for her to see the crazy guy. Jake Busey's character. That's the whole point, because she recognizes him later.
Mm-hmm.
But here she sees all these people, which I kind of get, but honestly, once again, it feels all contrived, like everyone's performing at the same time, when that's not what it would be like.
Right, yeah. They wouldn't...
It's like...
You don't get up and perform 24 hours
exactly.
a day.
Exactly. It's the hyper, we're on type of thing, which...
We only have this much time. You have to establish the ideas.
I got that.
And do
yeah.
it
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and I got that.
So it's the... The height.
A bunch of Vegas.
Well, yeah, rather than fleshing it out.
It's like a Joel Schumacher film, too.
Hmm.
You know. So.
Yeah.
It's.
I can see that point.
I don't know. It communicates. I just don't like how it
Viva
it
Las
does it.
Vega.
Yeah, a lot of good jokes, but I mean, okay. And this is where I went a little too far.
It doesn't paint the most flattering picture of humanity.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
But it's the directing that you're...
It's like overdriving by, and let's show all the kooky, wacky people at the height of like whatever it is.
Yes,
as opposed to... I mean,
fleshing it out.
It is economical.
In a real way.
Totally there. I got it. I got
what it's doing. And that, to me, feels like a novel being adapted to a screen. There's so much in the book, and they're just hitting the high points and move it along, you know.
I don't know what the solution is, but I'm just like... And reflection.
It's a nice
window.
Reflection, which was CG, I believe, for his reflection.
Wow.
I shouldn't say CG, optical effect. It's not an actual reflection.
No, I got that with visual effects. I got it. I understood you, Tim.
Okay.
We've tried over a million permutations.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah,
I've tried one.
Ooh, I haven't seen this for so long. What's the deal? It's like, you have to do it in a different dimension. What's the?
It's a cube.
Chart? Yeah, it's cube.
It's a cube.
Thank you.
Basically, there's a code along each side. You
and
match
you,
up the codes and
yes,
make it to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I want to have this kind of email. Oh, mirror shot again. I want this email program. Do you? I do.
Yes.
And it's an email program that you can actually chat with someone. See, it's called real time. So there's like a mixture. That's the interesting thing. There's a mixture of actual 97 technology. Then there's the bullshit technology. If this is one of them. We didn't have this in 97. Did we have instant messaging?
You know, you see this. Yeah, you see this on lots of movies.
Well, but that's what they do, because they can't. They don't want to license any of the other technology because it costs too much. So what you do is it's made up. You're made up.
Why would you need to license it? I wonder.
Because it's totally owned by Microsoft or Mac, and you have to license to use the visual and the operating of their and how to show their operating system works. Absolutely.
I would be surprised if that didn't fall under fair use.
No, it doesn't fall under fair use. That's why everyone does their own interfaces. In fact, there's special interfaces done just for movies and TV.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Unless there is a meeting. I mean, a meeting.
Apparently there is.
Unless there's
2:30, 50
hours. Unless there's an agreement made of some sort. I mean, I'm trying to think that there was one film where they used it, but,
Honestly, I would be interested in seeing...
Ooh, nice.
Wow.
Nice foreground shot element.
Yeah.
Anyway. I want to know who the tumbleweed wrangler was.
Throw those through now.
Better than smoke, that's all I can say. Smoke wrangler. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
That is not a good job. I've done that.
I like how this is great. That's a great piece of exposition. And that's a great way to introduce her from his point of view.
Yes.
On the monitors. And we've essentially been in his
lair.
Cabin.
His lair.
His cabin, yeah. That's great, because that's all on the screen. We're not looking at it, actually. We're looking on the monitor.
But then is this tied into where she enters this same camera shot? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. That's great.
Oh, and actually, oh, we can't rewind it. But the timing was off. The way her head turned on the monitor was mm-hmm. different from what we were seeing, because we would have seen our camera on that monitor from where the camera was placed. So she had to time her head swiveling around at the exact moment to match the monitor.
Very good.
And the timing was different.
Very good.
If you watch that.
The invisible camera trick.
Ever so slightly.
That's good. Actually, they do that in Inception. They do the invisible camera trick. And also other movies. This is creepy. He knows everything about her. So has he been following her for a long time, or did she just kind of pop up on his radar and he just did his research?
Well,
I think he
owned
did
the
his
company
research.
That she got her.
Yeah.
That she got her grant from.
I think that's probably his first brush with her.
Okay.
Was it that pitch meeting where he took note of her? I don't think she was worth that much to him until that moment.
That's an actual picture of her. And that's from Yale. And that's from a week before they started shooting. Yep.
As before makeup?
Yeah, or something like that. That's when she was teaching at Yale. And they, no,
you know so much there.
And
that's her birthday?
That was her birthday. That's right. On the set. That's right. Oh, that was a shot from the White House.
Ooh,
how did he get that
footage?
From our
perspective.
I know.
I like his character.
You know what? Hey, listen, we got two members of the Alien cast in this film.
That's right.
Yes.
I don't know what his character name was in Alien, though.
He was called Burst Out of My Chest Man.
I was
man.
Just going to say Chest Burster.
Oh, I used to know that. So we have Dallas and we have this guy.
Yeah.
John Hurt. I don't think there's anyone else.
Anyone sees Angelica Cartwright, let me know.
Angelica?
No, Veronica.
Veronica.
It was Veronica, right?
Yeah.
One of the Cartwright sisters.
And there was Yaphet Kotto.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton. Sigourney Weaver, of course. And Ian Holm.
Yaphet Kotto.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yaphet Kotto was in Live and Let Die.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know that Yaphet Kotto's Jewish?
Is he really?
Yeah. I know, that's what I said.
Wow. Group. They've got what jet is this that has this much headroom?
It's his own private built.
He's talking about the size of it.
I'm talking about the size of it. Oh. How could it have that much headroom?
It must be a pretty big jet.
No private jet has that kind of headroom.
His does. Amount of money?
I mean, if you have a big
like
enough plane.
The G5 doesn't have this much headroom, and it's one of the biggest out there.
No, I mean, as far as private jets, you can go up to forget the name, but like, you know, 747 type size, but they're a little smaller, but that can still be a private plane,
I guess.
Right.
If you buy it.
We didn't see the whole plane. It looked like it was a smaller plane than a 747.
It's a smaller plane. It's not a 747. That's right.
I guess the point was is that on a smaller plane, is there that much room for headroom? Okay.
No.
So we're like in movie space now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Like Air Force One. I mean, isn't that...
That's a 747.
Is that 747?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, he makes himself revealed now, and then later on at the end, at the very end, I mean, he's like revealing some things. At the end, of course, Kitz, of course, accuses him of having made up the whole thing and it being conspiracy. And you wonder, did he? But of course, you know, he didn't. But how did he figure this out?
This is a nice sequence. I like this sequence very much.
What makes you like it so much?
An expansion of ideas that he's going to come out of left field and put it together for her, and the mystery of it.
Right.
Of what this is. It becomes almost like a mystery spy picture almost in this mood compared to just a sci-fi film. And I like that.
Well, actually, you're right, because they did tease out the whole thing of the primer of it taking so long to figure it out. Okay, the music's a little much here.
It is.
Thank you.
I detached from the scene.
Exactly.
Of it.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just a bit
popcorn
much.
Movie moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, visually, they did a great job of doing this. And then also, of course, the transitions are awesome because you transition right into the next scene visually. Brilliant. And I thought that was great here. They're using logic for the primer for putting stuff together. And once again, we get to the whole thing. She's explaining this, and like
for the audience,
he interrupts her. He takes it away from her, and no one really kind of buys. Like, yes, we're all just dumb hicks. I mean, there's got to be a person of intelligence in that room that goes like, "Yeah, we understand what you're saying. You're right."
It's stereotypes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's to where this is the popcorn film approach. Versus the same subject matter could be done in a much more well-fleshed out way.
I'm going to bring up something because everything is intentional. You know, they always dress a scene. They always compose it. We have George Washington right over, like, the shoulder of the television with the schematics. Just wanted to point that out.
The father of our country.
Father of our country. I don't know what it means, but I mean, it is everything's intentional. They could have put any painting there. He had a point. I did agree with him on that one about it being a Trojan horse.
It's true.
But he says it in a kind of really snarky, funny way. They want to go, shut up. It's not. It's good.
It's a valid point.
No, it is a valid point. But the way he does it is so obnoxious. You don't want to believe him. You want to still stay with Jodie Foster.
Mm-hmm.
He's a douchebag. I'm sorry. Scared. That guy is just such a...
Which is a testament.
Yes.
Well, it's a testament to his skill. I mean, because Scarrett's a really likable character on screen. And actually, I want to talk about Rob Lowe for a second, because Rob Lowe's career is just like, where is it right now? This is right before West Wing.
He's on Parks and Recreation.
No, what I'm saying, at that time.
Oh, yeah.
At that time, his career was kind of really going nowhere.
Yeah, after the porn thing.
That was 92?
With the little girl?
That wasn't little girl. What are you talking about?
With the girl.
Actually, it was plural, wasn't it? There were two.
It was two, girl. Yeah, it was two girls.
I mean, they weren't little
But that's
girls,
not but. What it was. His career was already not kind of going anywhere. He didn't make the phase out of teenage, you know, hood into
Name
adulthood.
Another Jodie Foster, Rob Lowe movie.
Oh, crap.
There is one, you know.
Is it with you in the quiz?
Well, I'm just filling time. 2.5 hour now.
There's plenty to talk about. What are you talking about?
Hotel New Hampshire.
God,
you really,
wow.
You just know everything.
Hotel New Hampshire.
Everything.
I don't know everything.
No, I don't.
Hotel New Hampshire. That was an okay adaptation of an Irving novel. Not as good as Garp. Garp really did it well. The World According to Garp. Anybody?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bueller.
What about The World According to Garp?
Did you see it?
Yeah, a million years ago once, and I hated it.
Whoa!
I didn't like it. It was weird, and I was not in the mood for it.
Okay.
It's famous, and...
It is.
I'll have to watch it again.
I think it's...
Are we going to watch it in here?
I have no idea. I love this, how they... Well, once again, they landed President Clinton.
Look at that foreground
Clinton.
That's
not so good.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, they did an okay job. And there he is again. He's on camera. Taylor, have you ever seen Garp?
I have not seen Garp.
Oh, I would recommend it. Yeah, definitely try and
Who's
see
in it.
Robin Williams.
Glenn Close. John Lithgow.
Yes.
Oh, John Lithgow, yeah.
I've heard of it. I just never.
Oh, you should give it a shot.
I have to watch it, actually. Give it a shot. I didn't like it when I saw it first, but.
It was Robin Williams' big crossover to features.
Yeah, well, he was. That's right. It was the first film that he did.
And then he did Popeye after that, right? I think.
Yeah.
Robert Altman.
Popeye is not that bad.
I like Popeye.
It's wonderful. It's beautiful art direction.
It is beautiful art direction. I'd have to watch
the music.
It's been a long time.
Is the music good? I don't remember the music.
I'm blanking on his name.
Harry Nilsson.
That's
right. Who unfortunately died in the past couple of years.
Yep. Great songwriter.
Look at the dowdy outfit she's in.
Well, it's because she's supposed to be the physicalization, the clothes, body language.
The skirt is a bit awkward. The top is fine.
The shoes. Well, it also helps with is what she's about to ask her.
Her clothes for the evening. Yeah.
Yeah. Where she asks her.
True.
Do I know I can get her great dress?
And it is a great dress.
Right.
And so that's an awesome.
That's
hairdo
and her
dress.
Hair. Everything. She looks beautiful.
Yeah.
She's kind of Stevie Nixie.
You're right.
Now this whole thing of everyone out there protesting, why would they know to protest these people? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I could get the protest somewhere else, but here,
what is the event that they would know to go there, like a fundraiser?
I don't know, not a fundraiser.
I,
but
I really don't like his character.
Well, you're not supposed to like his character.
No, meaning
you don't like, you don't
the
like
execution
even how he does
of his
it?
Character. How they present it and how he does it. It was too blatant, too over the top.
I think
she's
very
obvious.
Feminine.
Very pretty there.
It's a very nice look right there on her.
So you think it's too on the nose, the Jake Busey stuff?
On the nose?
So you were saying. You're just thinking it's the same
thing. No, I thought it was false.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was just movie and forced, and especially when he leaves a bomb and a gangway or the
he's got explosives strapped himself,
and the sequence of that is really illogical as I remember it. I haven't seen this for 13 years, but
right.
I remember I did not care for it.
Right, well, all this stuff serves to
it was very movie
let us know
it's too obvious.
The fact that she would notice him at these two times just so that she could see him on the gangway, the setup I think.
It's,
the other subs are all right. That one's creaky for
it's
me.
It's movie 101. That's just the basics of to get by on. You know, it's not well thought out to be better than that.
And he has his hair done.
I'm in agreement. He is. Yep. She is pretty.
She is lovely.
That's not blue screen. That's actually the Washington Monument.
The Washington Monument. I don't think that's on location.
They didn't light it up.
I actually believe that's green screen.
They're craning up.
Right. Green screen with movement. I mean, that's what they could do at this point.
I think that was location. They lit the street and they lit the monument. That's all they had to do. Then they had the lights from the city.
I think it's a plate on green screen.
Let them have this one.
Sure.
No. I'm just
fine. But I think there's a predominantly green screen.
Well, here's
in these setups.
I think the backlight is. See, you get the backlight's hitting their hair, but not the face.
It's beautifully done.
I think it's location.
Okay, I'd like to know what I could consult.
Oh, I know. I'd love to find out. Yeah, and if it's blue green screen, fantastic. Disappointing, but fantastic. I love the idea of actually being somewhere and actually lighting it and shooting it in depth like that. I love how they both get the. This reminds me of that's something else where they all get their beepers at once. Maybe Battlestar Galactica or something else. All right. I understand this is exposition, but still. I got it. Well, Well, I guess, I mean, this is a huge exposition dump. They're constantly, they've got lots of information to get across. It's like, how do we
it's
do it?
It's tricky.
Do we have a person
That's why
say
I want to know what the novel was. Because,
yeah, I mean, it's a fat, fat film.
I mean, you know, they have the TV reports, this, that.
Yeah.
I mean, I got it. I can be forgiving knowing that they do it. It's just,
I found it very refreshing in that it was so dense.
Yes.
A story to be the way it was told. I thought, this is wonderful. I thought it was very gripping.
There's a ton of exposition to get out. You know, this is interesting. I mean, she's our main character. She makes a discovery. And normally, I want to say normally, a character like follows in and is in on every decision about what happens. And she is so isolated. She's
I think
it's great. She has no control about what's going
it's
on.
Really,
all these people are making these decisions. Drumlin is always making decisions for her.
It's kudos for par for the course of how it would be in reality.
And actually, this is a thought just occurred to me. Basically, this is a metaphor for her life. In the sense that she's without a father. And so in the same way, you have all these other people dominating her.
So it's just a identity.
It's a metaphor for her identity. And by extension, by the fact, you know, that she can actually resolve her feeling of loss for her father at the end, so to speak, by meeting the aliens, then she can actually become more of a whole person, not have these people essentially controlling her life.
Yeah.
Is that making sense?
Yeah.
That's really good. And I think that definitely because I've watched it and there definitely has been some of that source in some of that in there, that psychic layer and connection.
I love that he so wants to control everything that he actually resigned from the committee so he could be the one to go.
Well, exactly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's just evil.
Well, it's like Dick Cheney. You know, he was on the vice presidential candidate search committee, and then he chose himself.
I'll bet you Tom Skerritt, if you're
you didn't know
him.
That? That's,
no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Cheney was in charge of the vice presidential search committee and chose himself.
You guys suck. I'm taking the job.
I'll bet if you ask Skerritt, he would say that he did not see his characters being evil.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No, you can't judge your character.
Oh, never. Yeah. And I hear all this use of the TV. Oh my God, there's another use of Clinton, man. You know, the use of TV to communicate so much exposition.
I do remember in 70mm hating the jarring going between film and video. Video looked like crap. All the video segments, I was like, oh.
But here's another example of it, you know, dating itself. I mean, this is Brian Gumbel, who hasn't been on TV in ages. But then again, if you forget who all these people are and you look at, let's say you're looking at this 50 years from now and you wouldn't even know who any of these people are, you're going like, oh, okay.
It's a newscaster.
It then becomes like all anonymous people. It's because we know them in context.
Right.
We're in that period in a way.
It's topical.
We're in that period now where because we recognize things will date themselves. And after a certain amount of time, once you've gotten beyond that, things will stop dating themselves because you don't know the references anymore. And then it just becomes purely what it is.
Larry King is Larry King.
Right. Exactly.
They're going to go, oh, I think I recognize that guy.
Or that's a guy.
An interview guy.
Or it's like, he's like an actor. Like, why do I know? I don't know who it is. Yeah.
Oh, the moment.
Oh, yes, the whole faith thing.
I wonder if he unexpectedly dropped out because the bald man is manipulating things.
The bald man.
John Hurt. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Hurt.
Has anyone here seen Death Becomes Her, another Zemeckis film? What do you think of that, Taylor?
I love Meryl Streep. She's my favorite. So, of course, I love that movie.
It's so wickedly funny.
It is. It's hilarious.
Talk about a dark comedy.
It's so black.
And
it's
the effects
so fun.
Hold up pretty well.
They do.
They really do. I saw it not too long ago, and
it's
still
actually
hold up.
A funny film.
It's hilarious.
Yes.
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, you have to see it. It's so
especially
funny.
Actors. Actors can get a lot out of that movie. It makes so many jibes. Her really? Meryl Streep's character doing...
And aging.
Yes. And Goldie Hawn has said...
okay,
I remember
I'm gonna have to see it.
Goldie Hawn in quotes and in interviews said that it's her favorite movie that she did, and Zemeckis was her favorite director, I think.
Wow.
She said she just loved that doing that film so much, and the character's so great because she goes and turns into this evil when she gets fat eating all the cake frosting
and
her cats.
So good. And then she's just eating lard or something at one point. And Bruce Willis is really funny in that movie too. He's
really,
totally different.
Yeah, I agree. That's one that, needs to be done on Blu-ray. It needs to be restored. And
I love that movie.
I like that
Death
movie
Becomes
a lot.
Her is what we're discussing.
Have you seen Death Becomes Her?
I saw it when it first came out. I had no idea what I was expecting. I was like, what the hell is this?
I thought it
was pretty great. It was like, now that was great satire. Mm-hmm. That just like, because it went for it.
It was very dark.
It just went for it and did not hold back, which is great. That was like early 90s. I think.
I've not seen it. I don't
you
know.
You have to see it.
The big Zemeckis effects moment is when Meryl Streep falls down the stairs and her head snaps backwards, basically.
Oh, no, I thought
and
it was
the
with
stomach.
The whole,
hole in
the
stomach
hole in
was
the
a
stomach?
Big deal, too.
It's a big deal.
I love
but
the
thing
hole
with
the
neck and the head where it's on backwards.
Well,
is
she, you got to watch
it.
Is she a zombie? Or?
Death Becomes Her.
You got to watch it.
Which is a great double meaning in the title.
Oh, yeah.
It's attractive, but she also becomes death.
Is he still playing the chick here?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still the chick.
Look at the makeup. Just kidding.
And that's in Washington. My beloved Washington.
And that's on location.
That's the...
That's not...
I don't know.
Studio
it's by the...
No, that's green screen.
It's right
it's
by
green
the...
Screen.
No, it's not.
No, it's blue screen.
It's by the Jefferson
it's
Memorial.
It's fuchsia screen.
Stop it. It's on location. Now, she won an Oscar for The Accused, right?
And I think Silence of the Lambs.
And Silence of the Lambs. And she did really, she got nominated for Nell, right?
Yes. She was. Okay. I never saw that.
It's interesting.
I haven't seen Nell. I'm trying to think. I haven't seen The Accused. I've seen Silence of the Lambs. I'm not a fan of Silence of the Lambs, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see Freaky Friday? She was in that. The Disney film?
You might as well talk about Taxi
Driver
at that point.
Freaky Friday.
I guess I'm trying to decide, is this one... This is one of her better roles, definitely.
I really believe her in this movie. I believe she knows all the science, and she's done
totally,
that forever.
Yeah.
And
it's a huge role.
Well, she's a smart woman, very smart woman.
And this is what does her in.
Of course, and rat bastard.
Yeah, it feels like a total betrayal.
He's doing what he has to do, though.
Doing what he has to do for what? For himself?
To be true to his character and why he's there in the picture.
Oh, you see, and that, well, of course, that pushes my buttons, but...
No, that's... He'd be less of himself if he didn't do this. He's doing one of the hardest things he's had to do.
Oh, so what you're saying is
he's doing it.
Oh, so he doesn't want to ask the question.
No, he doesn't want
I
to
never got
expose her and put her into this corner. But he has to do this to be true to his identity and why he's there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's in a horrible position right now. He knows it.
Actually, you know, it's great that she gets to portray a scientist. There's not many scientists that get to be portrayed well. In the movies, and intelligently.
Christopher Lloyd, Back to the Future.
As sane people.
Yeah.
As opposed to insane. Oh, shut up, 95%.
What are you commenting on, 95%? What did I miss?
He's saying that 95% of the people, I want to know that statistic, believe in a supreme being of one thing or another. I'm like, I don't think so.
One flavor, one color or another. One flavor or another.
Really?
One shape. This is a wonderful moment in the film.
In what sense?
Well, in that he's conflicted, but she so sees it crumbling.
It destroys their relationship.
She sees what's happening.
He's detonating their relationship, but he's going for the greater cause. The greater cause is
Right. And then, of course, it goes right to Drumlin. That ass. Giving exactly the answer a hypocrite would say, because you know that he doesn't believe a word of it. And he's just like, I don't believe you even said that, buddy.
Yep.
Oh, God. Oh,
exactly.
He's just...
And in this,
he's Satan.
And in this sense, Zemeckis is manipulative. Political. But you know what? I don't mind... Well, I mind being manipulated. Let me just finish the topic real quickly. But I understand why he did it, and I'm cool with it. Yes.
The last shot.
Yeah.
She was sitting on the edge of the bed.
Yeah.
That's another character trait that follows through in the entire film. She has knees up, huddles up, arms around her shins. It was used on the edge where we said it was magic hour on the edge of the cliff. Mm-hmm. I think it's one other place, and it's done in the end as well. But that's her fetal position when she's a little girl and she's vulnerable.
Oh, maybe the Jenna Malone.
She did it on the porch.
Right. Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. And Zemeckis does that because in Forrest Gump, he did the thing with Tom Hanks and his son where their head tilts to the same side.
Oh, yeah.
And they're sitting watching something.
Young Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played Forrest Gump Jr.
So visual continuity of a person's character.
She's got great eyes. Maybe you do.
And so did he.
Mm-hmm.
But McConaughey told the truth as well. That's why they're conflicted.
Right.
And that is some nice luggage.
And now is the compass. I'm like, oh. I mean, I got it.
But you think they drilled it?
It kind of goes back and forth a little too much.
Well, what's nice about that particular moment is that he didn't know.
It's sentimental.
That she cherished it.
Oh, I
got
the
gold chain.
It.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I understand. I think in a novel can work, but unfortunately, movie is like, 2 hours travel, and you can't. It's very hard to do back and forth things, and it gets repetitive because he does give it back to her and it does save her life. Mm-hmm. And I got that. And I'm fine with it in a novel, but in terms of when you present it as part of a movie, it's difficult. And that's where it challenges you to be more clever so that you don't have the back and forth.
If they had not hit when he pins it to the door or whatever he pinned it to, if they hadn't hit that so hard and she just came across it in her stuff, that might have been maybe a little less obnoxious. This moment, I actually think, is kind of important because it represents the relationship they had that's now gone.
It was used very well. Yeah. I have no argument about the moments. It's just a collection of moments.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying.
Now, is this
that was a big deal?
Is this CG?
That not the shore with the cars and the people, but when we tilt it up, it was CG, and then we the same shot goes into this helicopter. That was three different composites put together.
No, I know. But that's fantastic. The CG,
the design of this machine, I thought was very cool.
But the execution, I mean, the way they do it, it's like completely believable. It's great.
Fantastic.
And that's his thing that he always repeats. Who we lovingly call Elmer. That's the thing. He knows how to be cute on camera. He says it in all his interviews. I remember that.
Oh, okay.
He'll do it again. And he milks it. He gets even cuter and funnier the next time he says it on camera.
Right.
So you know how schmarmy he is.
He is. He's a total, he's a, I won't say manipulator, but he's, oh, there we go. Look. There you go.
See?
Yep.
That was a sitcom right there.
There's Dallas.
I remember being very impressed that that background, how it looked with that machine.
No, it's
and
fantastic.
This, it's foreground stuff.
Amazing.
It was very well integrated.
It's amazing. And to think it took like until last year when they did District 9 to even come to close to anything like that on a big scale like that. Or that we'd see often.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, District 9, the camera would be constantly moving.
This is before they got it down that good.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty amazing for 97. Oh, man.
Nice little movement here.
It's like he's in a different universe than she is. Really, they are not on the same planet.
Not taken advantage of by me.
Right. We don't live in that world. It's like, what? Well, what's interesting, too, is that, in a way, I mean, she's still living her ideal life, her, mm-hmm. her ideals, her youth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I mean, he's, if you want to classify, like, he's totally, like, super adult, as in, like, nothing makes a difference. Ideals don't make a difference.
Nope.
It's all about what's practical, and it's just too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this actor. I don't remember what his name is. He was on an episode of, I think, The X-Files or Millennium. Oh, Millennium. He's great.
Millennium?
Millennium. The show with Lance Henriksen?
Oh, yeah.
Great character actor.
That was Millennium was kind of a spin-off from X-Files, right?
Yes. Well, no, it wasn't. It was by the same bunch of people, and they did have a crossover episode.
Hmm.
Once Millennium was canceled. That was a pretty freaky show, actually.
Where is it where she sees Busey?
It's coming up soon. It's going to take like another 2-3 minutes for that to happen. But here we're getting all the... Okay, who's the narrator now? Who is she? See, that was a... I mean, I was buying everything in there, and then we hear this voice coming from a TV commentator or something.
She's breathing.
Oh, okay. See, that's amazing how photorealistic, how they just made that all look. And even just with the binoculars and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the different views on the monitors. A lot of CG work they had to do.
Yeah, but he gives that different perspective and a different way of telling. I mean, we've got all the storytelling going on right now, mm-hmm. the different things, and this is important because we're seeing the crew behind him, and then that plays in just a few minutes. And then it becomes really obvious when it happens, except to, you know, to us and no one else.
It's a great shot on the right monitor.
Yeah.
That's a good perspective.
Okay, that's all CG.
PRD, personal recording device?
That's what they call them, in that reality.
Mm.
And so here,
that's
this,
our Walter Cronkite right there.
This makes it. This makes it very clear about where he is, so we know where geographically he's on the gantry crane. And this tells us how the thing's going to... I mean, a lot of exposition. It just they just nail it, the clarity, which is great.
Very inventive concept for this machine.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought that was very well executed.
I like how they don't have no idea how it's going
to
work.
Plus, it's very dramatic, too. Yeah. You have to drop this thing into the center of all those rings. That's it has right. to do this. It's very dramatic.
We couldn't build a smaller one to test it.
That's not what the specs were. The specs were to build it that big. What are you talking about?
Just use half the measurements.
Oh, great.
It's like a recipe.
See, now... No, hang on, where is it? We start seeing it. Oh, okay, so now we see it on the right. Yeah, so now it's kind of obvious. So we're paying attention. See, the camera just moves, and now we see the monitor, and of course he's acting suspicious.
Now he's... Okay, they've changed the image on the... Oh, there he is.
Right. And we're all screaming at Jody, "Turn around! Don't you see him?"
And when he turns, he looks like the devil incarnate.
Mm. When he looks at the camera?
Yeah, he does a swivel, and he looks like, "I am evil."
Well, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
And that's what you don't like.
Yes, I do not like that.
Now, we're also getting information about what's happening as the rings are speeding up.
Look at that.
But what we're also getting, like I was saying, we know that there's the shaking and the different things that are happening that we're going to find out later also that's going to play. So in other words, we're getting the beginning of it. Uh-oh. So you see, now that's the thing. How does she know him? I mean, I know we see she's seen him, but I don't know.
He's so over the top. He's just so, it's so terrible. Very tacky. I'm sorry. It took me out of the film completely.
But I like Scare. Scare's just really cool. So now he turns into Dallas. And that's really cool, the way they
face
have the face-to-face on the video monitors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just how you don't have to cut into the gantry. You see how it's all going to happen. Yeah, it's all played out on the monitors.
Oh, the camera operator apparently carrying the camera.
That's right, because there's a bomb and I'm going to shoot this.
Oh, unless we're looking through... Oh, are we looking through Gary's PRD, maybe?
It's the PRD,
or
yes.
Or Gary, right. Or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. This is horrible. This is very good. I mean, it's great, horrible.
Oh, that can't be good. That's going to be a problem.
That looks expensive.
Is this going to slow us down?
Didn't age well.
I was kind of thinking people were killed right there. That's what I was thinking.
I'm thinking... Mm-hmm. You think?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That was, well... It was very effective.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he's cool. He's like, you need to be professional.
That the...
And she
machine and the plans to build it
in
the lofty state of the aliens is sabotaged by humanity's downfall of terrorism and
fear is what it was. I mean,
so we're not ready for it because we're going to destroy it in some respect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing is, you know,
it's a very sad commentary.
It's commentary on faith because the guy was so believing in God, something else, aliens could not exist. That he had to, felt he had to destroy it.
On his faith. What he deserved to put his faith in. Not faith in it just of itself.
No.
But what he put his faith into was not the right thing.
Yeah.
From Utah.
Says we do for the goodness
Utah,
of...
Utah, those terrorists.
We do from the goodness of mankind. It's like, well...
He was from Utah?
And Panguitch. Yep.
So he pins it to faith. I'm not saying all faith, but he pins it to faith.
Well, you said it's faith.
Well,
that's what you said.
That's essentially, that's the symbol, but okay. I'm not going to say it's all faith, but it's he pins it to faith. It's him. In other words, the whole, in terms of the argument.
I'm sort of Matthew McConaughey and you're Jodie Foster in this, Serge. You've bashed the faith elements and the... to where it needs to be all science and analytical. And I like the film because her arc is she starts out that way and then she realizes that there does come a point where you have to have faith.
And I totally agree with that. I don't argue with that at all. No, that's not what I was saying with this. What I was saying is that in the argument of the film, in other words, because her counter argument is faith, the thing that destroyed, in terms of how her story, because this is her story, it's not someone else's story, how her story is playing out, someone who uses faith actually has destroyed, let me finish the point, has destroyed essentially this particular opportunity.
Right.
But the whole thing is the irony is faith, essentially spirituality still plays out because that's her not getting on there is what saved her. And the point is that there is another power that guides her to the point at the right point. In other words, if there was no guiding hand, she would have been on the gantry and she would have died.
Right.
So in other words, all the faith elements are still working to make her be in the right place at the right time, is what I'm saying.
And that's a very, very, I see that completely.
Right.
It's just very simply, it's what you put your faith in, rather than faith being the downfall, is pretty much what I was latching onto.
Now, I'm curious as to how they did the floating effects.
I dig the fact that his character is just out there doing these amazing, awesome, wonderful things with his money and how eccentric.
Well, I want to point out this is 1997 and she's got a huge flat screen TV.
Yes.
How the hell does she have that?
No. All this equipment was put in her room.
Well, I understand that. The point is that who had big flat screen TVs like that in 97.
Right, just like his big plane. I mean, this guy does it upright.
Well, exactly. It's like $1 million plasma, plasma TV. That was my point.
He's grandiose. That's what I like about him. He's grandiose.
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how they did this. And once again, it's great how they communicate. She's watching this on a TV. She's getting all this information from a TV.
Yeah.
And multiple
technology
images.
And media has played a huge role in this film.
Yeah, I mean, it is really the...
I love that, the new
machine.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
He did his
I
own.
Forgot.
Look right. at this. It's a nice reveal. Look at her face. John Hurt's character really is an awesome part of this movie.
Yeah.
Because the Japanese.
And this is the same music cue yeah. that is I'm slick as shit. I'm awesome. It's that same sound that was in the earlier
okay.
when she was on the plane.
It's a good cue.
It's a nice cue of I am not working from center. I'm off in my own world, and I'm going to prove to be bigger than what the main foreground stuff looks like. I like that.
What I love is I love this this transition.
He's so weird. He's like, yeah.
And
it's like,
and we're on the boat already, and we there's no interruption. Boom,
it's
we're there.
Trippy.
Huge CG work.
Acid?
Yeah.
That is CG. That's CG
All
ship.
CG.
CG water,
and it hasn't dated well. It looks like a video game, but for the time, it was very, very impressive.
That plane gives it away a lot more than the ship, actually.
I don't
and
know.
Water,
I expect the Terminator to be, you know,
water is the simplest thing to do. In CG effects they found. That's why James Cameron used the water tentacle in The Abyss.
Ah, okay.
Because water was the simplest thing to do.
I didn't realize that.
That come off looking as real as it could. This is all green screen.
Oh, yeah. That's, I hate to say it's kind of obvious. Oh, there's the personal recording unit again.
Mm-hmm.
PRU.
Well, because in the end, that's what that proves yeah. that she was gone that long.
The right. time.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
yeah.
right. It's blank, right. but there's
she's yeah. gone for 18
time.
Hours.
That's like 18
that's
hours
right.
of
You're
film.
Right. Good memory.
Yeah. Yep.
I forgot about that.
See, here she even points it out about the chair. She says, no. And everyone's like, no, chair.
Trust.
See, she has faith in
she
what
does.
The aliens said. They said we should, and she does
she
have.
Does she has faith.
She has
faith in their science.
In science, exactly.
She has faith in their science.
And she does.
In the aliens.
And
right.
mathematics.
And whereas no one else has faith right. in their science, which is interesting.
True. Yeah, that she's the only one.
She's the only one who believes
out of all
in
this.
It.
That's yeah. a, that's too.
And you, and actually, Drumlin. If you much. Think about it, Drumlin, didn't believe in their science.
Or that they were good.
Well, didn't believe
she never
in anything,
thought
really.
They were hostile.
Right.
Wait, you're giving me a suicide pill?
This is great.
If it goes wrong, I'll just die.
That's right.
So you might as well kill yourself.
That's right, because God forbid.
Fear, paranoia.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. I think I might want to have that.
Really?
What if you crash land and you're like in a lot of pain and you're never going to get back?
Die.
You can yeah,
die.
Take
it's
the pill.
Easy. No, it's easy to just die.
I don't know.
There she is in her position.
She's in her position she's again.
The unknown. She's vulnerable. Sort of telegraphing.
Put your hair behind your ear.
That would be a little much.
Oh, hello.
Zoinks.
Now put your hair behind your ear.
And drop your robe,
little girl.
What?
Well, it's just that whenever they get together, it sparks fly.
No, I mean, it's like the little girl.
It was just the sequence of words.
Wow.
It was just
oh,
kind of really
oh,
bad. Yes, yeah, so that was...
I just it would have spiced up the third act. I'm just...
Ah, I see. See, he was being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But he's letting her go now, so it's okay. And she's got the compass back. See, now the compass comes back in play.
Yes, and now look at the setting. Who wouldn't want to go on this mission? Look how beautiful.
That jet is not bad. It's like a Firefox jet.
Oh, that, yeah. It was really bad.
That was. And that was like...
1980.
That was like 16 years before.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bernard Shaw.
What's interesting is they sort of overlook the issue that the Japanese went ahead and built one in secret.
No, they built it with...
Why doesn't that piss anybody off?
No, it was controlled by... No, that's what he said. It was controlled by American subcontracted Japanese subcontractors.
Yeah.
This is an awesome... I love her get up here. The whole feel of this thing is great.
This was
theater.
Really tense.
Remember
in
the theater?
It really was.
People were... But the foundational work that was done up to this point...
And that's
made
the point.
This
yeah, exactly.
really
yeah.
pay off.
Exactly.
There's actual
the
character development Whoa. In this movie.
You're attached in all areas.
And I love her costume there. I mean, it's got a slightly, I want to say, samurai feel to it, which is really cool.
Sort of.
It's got a bit of that Japanese feel.
Anime.
This is great. This is a great
image.
Which
is cool. Well, I mean, this is Japanese. What was the main people who built that he got to build this one?
It was Japanese subcontractors, and then he bought it out.
It was
out.
The same people who built the first one. Remember, the Japanese pulled out of bidding for the first one because they were the contractor. They just wanted the contract to build it.
Big CG effect.
That's
green
great. And yes, wow, look at that. And this is what she saw. Remember what she saw on the monitor of what he saw in the PRU, or the personal recording device, PRD.
This is out on Blu-ray, and I've toyed on getting it.
Look, they just push her.
Look at her eyes.
Get in the chair.
She's just got great eyes, and with the, you know, definitely with the eye lights.
Well, yeah, Jodie Foster's beautiful. Famous for her eyes.
I remember there was a whole day, I think, mm-hmm. where all she did was sit there and say, a whole day shooting, she had to say, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I'm good to go. Did it for a whole day.
Yeah.
And the sound design, I remember the sound design in this was awesome.
I really want to see this in a theater now because I can only imagine what it's like.
Look at the breath.
Yeah, it's very immersive.
Was that Titanic breath?
Well, they are in the snowy mountains.
No, but was that Titanic breath?
As far as CG.
Damn. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I hate Titanic breath. I do.
And if you kiss someone with Titanic breath, oh, it's the worst. Yeah.
You know.
There's morning breath and there's just, Titanic
how do you tell them?
Breath.
You just, I'm sorry, I've never seen convincing cold air breath done with CG. I just haven't.
This would have killed her.
I would rather
Ooh.
Take the pill than sit in that chair.
But that's the point. She didn't want to, but she still did. She gave in. It's like, fine, I'll do what you want.
Can I get one of these headsets?
Yes.
In fact, we ought to do this with those.
That would be so cool if I could only afford it. I like here. These two guys.
I like the fact that Devo is putting her in the.
It is Devo.
I like that they're bowing. I like the bowing.
The Japanese Devo cover band.
That was the one. The one bit of humor in the whole film. She tried.
She couldn't bow.
She could bow.
Yeah. Well, they got the whole crew from the first
high control
launch.
Yep. Out to PRD. Oh, so we have two views, up and down. All right.
Oh, they even brought the government jerks.
Yep.
Nice syncing of her head movements to her point of view
in
the camera on the monitors.
Yeah.
Do you think they're probably using an actual image from her head?
Maybe.
I mean, if I were him, I'd shoot it at the same time if I could.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, that's a second joke for the film.
Her POV, the camera would have been in her shot of the camera looking at her.
Right.
So well, yeah, but it's two separate.
It's a pinhole
cam coming up through that.
This moment is great. The whole thing of her getting locked in.
That just is such an awesome set.
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd they do with this set after filming? I mean, it's a shame that they had to destroy it.
I love here, if you look at the seam disappears.
Yeah. Okay, that's a little silly.
Why is it silly?
That's the alien technology.
Oh, yeah, that's the alien tech.
Huh. Yeah, that's what it is.
And to think she has to be dropped into
and,
that.
And she's like, and she's just like, I'm sitting here. I'm going to really do this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this.
That's what I like, though. I like that she's nervous.
Oh, absolutely. You know? But she is able to pull this off.
Mm-hmm. But you know, there's no other way she'd rather die.
Yeah.
It's true. She's going to express that.
Yeah.
It's like the people who are on the shuttle. I mean, the shuttle blew up, but that's the way they, if they're going to go, they're going to go in their dream.
I like everything's Haddon.
And they cut to McConaughey after a higher power intervened.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he's in a sweater. Oh, a sweater. It makes him homey.
Yes. It's from the...
Well, it's not a slanket or whatever. Those. What's the... The blanket with sleeves.
See, I like
it. It's pretty amazing to see McConaughey with a shirt on at all. So.
Good point. Good point.
I like how she feels a vibration and they don't pick up anything.
Snuggie.
I mean, I love Snuggie.
Sorry, I'm back on that.
I love
it. No, but they can't see the vibration.
No, that's the point. They can't detect it. See? I just love that the signs that they're putting forward here. Now it's like getting into the actual execution of this thing and how this particular science works. And for whatever reason, she can be detecting it because of whatever field she's in, but they can't detect it. I like that scientific logic, so to speak. Now, unfortunately, this reminds me too much of cell phone conversations. Like, can you hear me? No, I can't hear you. Can you say that again? And like, no. Okay. All right.
It's the same as that guy who couldn't figure out. It's just frustrating, right?
Exactly.
Is that what it is?
It is. I'm like, come on. And it's the fake suspense thing.
I will say that to me, this sequence, the entire sequence where she was on the gantry to walk to this.
Yes.
This is the piece de resistance of the film for me. I like this sequence the most.
Yeah. Oh, with this sequence?
Mm-hmm.
This whole event sequence, this chunk is right here.
Well, coming up.
And look at that.
Now, how did they even think of this? Like, what? There's booster rockets? Okay. It's amazing. Oh, they had to shake her all day. Okay, Jody.
Now we're seeing a shake, right? Or is that just interference?
It's interference. They can't really tell. Well, you can see it shake, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, is that just electrical shake or?
I don't know. They've got to be expecting there's got to be some vibration from all that.
Well, unless it's not really happening, but it's part of. You know what I mean? It's actually her mind being taken out. Because I mean, physically, the idea is that she doesn't really go anywhere, right? She travels across the universe.
But the ball just drops.
Oh, yeah. See, I always take it to be that actually the ball drops, but there's a microsecond where actually the ball disappears, and that it goes into the wormhole and then reappears at the right moment. In other words, it opens a gateway
and then
drops right back. That's the way I took it.
Or is it not her physical body that goes into that? You know, I mean, maybe this shaking is all her being pulled out of this reality.
But
I hadn't really thought about it like that. Yeah,
tape.
Well, the tape just disappeared. I mean, it's blank.
Well, no, but the tape is 18 hours long.
Long, yeah.
Yeah, I think she actually
does.
She does drop through a wormhole in a microsecond and it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good thing they got the deaf guy there to hear. I mean, the blind guy.
The deaf guy. Good thing they have a deaf guy there.
They're to hear her.
See, that's the blind guy to see stuff.
But you see, that's part of what was bothering me was the fake suspense. If we have to hear her say okay to go, and it's all shaking, and you got interference, and you can't hear it, and blah blah blah. And the blind guy's going to hear her. I'm like,
she sounds so scared right now.
I'm fine with her to say okay to go, but
that's cool.
And
it's amazing.
Yeah.
And very effective.
And I like how it gets so strong it starts pulling the sh- yeah, there it's pulling the ship.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. This is good.
Yep. Yep. That's a great shot.
That's nice.
This must have been something in the theater.
Oh, it was. Oh, it was so intense.
Yeah, the sound design blew you out of your chair. I remember that.
Yeah, she plays fear well. Yeah. There's the tunnel, which we've seen in different things. Actually, I think that you did this kind of tunnel in Sliders, the TV show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here they do it very well.
I did it all right on Sliders.
I don't mind. Oh, they did it very well on Sliders.
Stargate, Atlantis.
Okay, exactly.
For Stargate.
I'm saying I don't mind them doing it here like they did it there.
Mm-hmm.
This makes sense. Wow. Now that's a cool effect of stretching that image.
Yep.
Yeah. And actually, if you look carefully, you see like the edge of something.
It's the edge of her orb.
Mm-hmm.
What she's sitting in, the structure.
And actually, it's interesting. Whatever direction she's looking in, she can see through. That's kind of what they're saying. What was that? That big thing, that big object.
That was a relay point.
Hey, thank you. That's what I was talking about. That was another piece of alien tech.
Of tech, yeah.
And you see it for a second and you don't see it again. That's amazing. I love that. Now, what's that about?
I don't know.
Those kind of...
I don't know. Like I said, I was in junior high and I was high.
Dimensions that, you know, all these planes, these separate dimensions. Yeah. That's the way I see it.
Okay.
Are converging together.
So she just reaches down and grabs the pill.
End credits.
Actually, you know what's interesting here is that she's doing a monologue.
Yeah.
This is all a monologue, and she's doing it really well.
So that's they're alive. So we saw the future when she said they're alive first time.
There you go. Okay, that's what it is. So actually, you're right. So was the time was getting all mixed up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And here's the compass, and this is where the compass saves her life. And I have no problem with the compass saving her life.
Mm-mm.
It was the extended setup.
Nice focus shift on that.
Oh, great. And, and we know that's visual effects. And remember, she said, we don't need the chair. The chair was not part of the specs.
Because she had faith in the design.
Exactly.
And look, smooth. I'm not shaking anymore.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
She was shaking because she was attached to the sphere.
Right.
Just by staying in the sphere, she'd be fine. Yeah. I like her gloves.
The aliens knew what they were doing.
Absolutely.
It's our doubt.
And look at that. I think that's a CG. It must be a CG chair.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bam.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know she would have been killed.
I think she...
Oh, she... Yeah. Totally would have been killed. But that's the point. The point is she...
She had faith.
She had... Well, she had faith in them.
In getting her compass.
Actually,
she had a faith.
Well, here it is. There was two points of faith. It was only her... It was her faith in their technology, in what they said. It's not that they're talking about what they said to do. And then it was also Porter's faith... So to speak, working through the compass. He gave her the compass.
Oh. The meaning of the compass, what the compass meant to her, for her to go after it.
Right. And what the compass meant to him, and that's what saved her. It was the two points of faith, so to speak.
Yeah.
And out here, this is a great show.
Her eyes, gorgeous
eyes. It's great. And this is where they do the Jenna Malone
thing. She's really good right there.
Yeah.
That's very tough to do.
Yeah.
For an actress. Wouldn't you say, Taylor?
Oh,
look at
because
she's not looking at anything. Yeah,
screen.
And they go action,
and they just mix Jenna Malone with her right there.
Oh, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I totally didn't see it.
Yeah, totally. They do the face morph. It was just very, very subtle. See, she had faith, and she still had no idea how beautiful
and
it was.
And her face morphed again.
Yeah,
into
well, that
this,
was something interesting.
To
yeah.
bring it into this close-up
and,
of the eye.
And even, oh, to the, and even to there. Now, here, this is interesting. If basically what she is she's on a plane. Okay, this is green screen. We all know this. Mm-hmm. So she's laying.
But that's a CG person. Look at that. Now it turns into her.
Okay, well, it turns CG. Into her here. And what it is she's lying down on a plank. They've moved it up, and they've lifted it up, and the camera's moved with her so that then, because she was laying down before. She was completely laying down, and now she's able to stand. Does that make sense? But mm-hmm. we can't tell because mm-hmm. it's all yes. green screen. And this is her drawing, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Pensacola
looks weird.
Yep.
Right there.
I don't know. I'd like to live there. That'd be cool.
White sand. Mm. Well, I don't know if it's white sand anymore. Black sand. And tar. And oil. Now, that's wow. cool. Is that CG?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. mm-hmm. They went on location. So, yeah, I guess this... Well, we know this is happening in her mind. So to speak.
No, okay, this, now, is that her
no,
face?
No, I think she's still in the sphere. So,
that's what I'm saying. What yeah, that's why it's happening in her mind. I wanted to believe. Well, I mean, I believe she did go somewhere else. I want to believe. You see, this is it. I want to believe that in this movie she went somewhere else and wasn't just all in her mind as she dropped through the contraption.
Well, 18 hours of
tape.
Video tape. Recording would tend to support that.
Okay,
that.
All right.
Position.
And then
wow.
that this would be, you know, and this was a cool effect. It's very strange. And it's cool that they were able to maintain such a cool and abstract. And she's recording. Does anyone read any Larry Niven?
No.
Okay.
I have.
Oh,
not in some time.
I thought it was going to be a Kazin.
Okay. I don't get the reference, though.
So. Oh, it's a creature from Larry Niven's. Universe,
the
so
series?
Speak. Well, the known, he calls it the known universe, but oh. it's Larry Niven. Larry Niven's a sci-fi writer, pretty popular in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he looks huge.
Daddy.
I think Jodie Foster's short.
I think she is.
I think they actually have her on a block.
Really?
I'm serious, yeah.
She's that short? Wow, he is huge, and she is small. Look at that hand.
My hand is as big as your head.
Which is good because it makes her the little girl again.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why they cast David Morris, because he is such a big guy. And they could do that. You're right. This is like, it's like The Matrix. No. No, it's like Star Trek when they reach into their minds and we're going to take your mind and create a fantasy for you.
Oh, there you go.
I'm trying to think of where this has been referenced. What's interesting, because that idea has existed before, but how they took this in Contact and kind of made it their own and simple. I like that. So, of course, the whole idea is to communicate the message that at least, you know, based on the technology, there are others, there are aliens out there. Well, what we call aliens, there are others. Which was Sagan's message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like that he said they were gone before we even got there. You know,
so which stems from Close Encounters, We Are Not Alone.
Right.
You know? Just the basic human need not to be alone.
Yeah. Now, that's a very weird comment, because how would he know that? She wouldn't even know that. She never knew her mother.
Did you notice the star pattern in the sand, similar to the popcorn on the floor? The arc?
Was it?
Really?
Yeah. It's an arc and an arc on the sand.
Well, that's very thought through, isn't it?
Oh.
Surprise, surprise.
Zemeckis, I'm not surprised at all. Technical genius. See, this is interesting. It says all the things we found to make the... Right. It's each other. So in other words, to know that there's other civilizations out there is the only thing that made it bearable.
Which brings us back to 2010.
Oh, you're killing me. Something wonderful is about to happen. Right, Tim?
That's right.
It's interesting. He says, you're... In a way, that, you know, in a way, if you think about it, the aliens know exactly how it goes because the person who's like has this experience goes back and everyone says, no, you know, you're crazy. It can't possibly exist. And it just needs time to. This reminds me of the book Childhood's End, which
I haven't read, but I have
Arthur C. Clarke.
Owned forever.
It's an all right book. It's not a very good narrative book. It's a good kind of explains things. But in the first part, basically, how do I explain this? Aliens come down and basically reveal themselves. Well, they stay for like years and don't even reveal themselves. And then after only a certain amount of time, do they even reveal themselves? So let everyone get used to the idea that there's aliens before they even do anything. Oh, there we go.
So everyone thinks in the audience that time has elapsed.
Right.
Yep.
And we have no idea.
But everyone's dressed the same.
How strange. They strangely smell a lot.
That to me also seems very James Cameron. I picture Linda Hamilton
right
in the monitor there. It just has that feel.
It's interesting. I'm really noticing all the Haddon logos this time. I mean, they are like everywhere.
Nice touch.
Well, the interesting thing is that Haddon doesn't do anything to help her out here. Oh, or is he dead?
He died.
He might be dead. He might be dead. And this was a really weird turn in the movie.
It was.
It's like, what?
Yeah. Is she crazy?
Yeah, that's what I thought,
are
too.
We, no, not only is she crazy, are we crazy? Yeah. Because of course we believe it. How can it not? We saw what she saw.
But why can't it be put forth that our time is different from what happens inside that sphere?
Oh, it's interesting.
But we're all open to this because we've seen the whole movie. But everyone, everyone around there is just like, oh, no, it couldn't happen. There's no way. Especially Kitts. He's like, right. No.
Comes down to faith.
Of a different sort, yeah, exactly.
This sort of resonates, with Signs, Mel Gibson.
Oh.
The film of what kind of a man are you going to be, that circumstances are just circumstances, or that you see a bigger design within them and you have faith that something bigger is taking place. And that's what this film comes down to as well.
All right, I can buy that. I think this film does it better than Signs. See, she says fraction of a second. See? That's a lot of extras.
Yep.
What's that?
Einstein-Rosenbridge.
It's a theory he had that they recently kind of solved about time, and it has to do with relativity.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know it in detail, but I've heard of it.
Oh, okay. I I think it's just interesting, the storytelling here is that, you know, however I say when Zemeckis, I mean, the filmmakers decided to say, okay, fine, we're going to basically now have someone basically discount everything that she's just experienced, absolutely challenge her sense of being, challenge her sense of her, who she is, what she believes,
mm-hmm.
what she knows she experienced, actually. It's not even what she believes, it's she knows she experienced.
Excuse me.
So...
it really was gutsy, I think, for the story to end up this way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought very refreshing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It is very disappointing emotionally. It's like, what do you mean? No, of course, everyone's got to believe, and it's going to be... But in a way, this is the right way to do it.
It truly is her story.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And you
this
feel
film
like
is
she
her
does, yeah.
story.
Absolutely. And in a way, maybe he has to be such a big dick for us to feel that way, because he is.
Like Indiana Jones and Marion at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. They've mm-hmm. seen the power of this thing, and the government and the people just box it up and put it away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's no one else's experience, but Marion and Indy know. They're all alone in it.
And actually, you know, Haddon, in a way, was a father figure to her that she didn't have.
I mm-hmm. was just going to say that.
You know.
Well, there do you think a father figure or...
Well, he was a patron.
Yeah.
Wait,
and as a patron, he was a little bit of a father figure, not completely.
Well, and he gave her the opportunity to do...
He believed in her.
Yeah.
Yep, he did.
Oh, that's funny.
That's
they
a really good effect.
Down to do that.
Exactly, I was going to say, yeah. Okay, fine. Yes, he read the screenplay.
Yeah.
He went to that page.
And she actually used it earlier.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
the guy read the screenplay, and that's why is his name's Porter? I'm going to keep on calling him Parker.
Doesn't explain what she experienced.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's not so much we know, because we experienced it with her, that she experienced it. But now it's a matter of convincing the outside world that it did happen.
Right, not privy to any of the information that we are.
Right.
And judging from where they sit.
But don't you think they'd look into it a little more because they are dealing with advanced technology?
Well,
ultimately they do.
Kitz has.
Yeah.
Kitz is doing this intentionally. He knows that there are 18 hours, but he's intentionally discounting it because he knows, for whatever reason, no one can know.
Mm-hmm.
And being one of the few people who knows, then, you know, it's like, let it just go away and it'll build itself quietly.
Here's her moment.
Yep.
This is it right here.
Go, Jody. Yes, we are listening to James Woods.
No.
I mean, okay, I get his point, but I feel like it's manipulative. You know, it's all very showy, super showy, Hollywood showy. That's my thing. It's just, I get where it's supposed to elicit an emotional response from you. It's sort of like a little too much for me.
Wait, now, I mean, look at the
but it's great what she does.
The yearning of McConaughey and the
that's
the skepticism
fine.
Of I don't know the yeah. presidential
Kitz.
No, the black lady.
Oh, don't know her. Bassett.
Angela Bassett.
Well, but I mean her character. I don't know.
It's nice.
I like the beautiful acting in this.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and what she does here is absolutely fantastic. I mean, essentially, if it's a matter of pushing the buttons to make her iterate, you know, basically what...
Well, and she's felt alone her whole life, and now she knows that she's not.
Yeah, exactly. In a way, she was exactly the right person to communicate this, to get the message, so to speak. You're right.
Which religion gives some of them?
But the thing is that
she's basically making an argument for faith.
I don't read it like that. I read that she essentially had an experience where she came to an appreciation of, as she said, the awe, humility, and hope of the universe, of what she saw around her, of everything that is beyond her understanding. But she saw, because we have so, I mean, but when can you see it here? You see the Grand Canyon. You see, I mean, great geography reminds you, I mean, that there is something greater, natural.
But some people see it in the eyes of a child.
In a
deer in the wild.
Or a strand of DNA.
But
here she saw it in what, you know, it's Sagan saying, consider really that we are not alone. We may not see it, but have faith that we are not alone. And I will go with Carl Sagan on this one.
No, and I agree, but it's interesting how that same argument, her perspective, could be, twisted, for lack of a better word, or skewed, so that there could be the same argument for any religious person.
I know the person on the right there. We see that guy in blue jacket, woman behind him. Yeah, I worked with her. Oh. She was like, I was an extra in Contact. I was like, nice. All right. It's not often I can say that for a movie. But this was in Washington that they shot all this. Oh, you see, people are even coming out with, you know, with the kids
they have
to be healed.
What she said.
To be healed. I mean,
oh, is that what they're doing?
That's, yeah, look at, now, you see, now instead of the crowd saying, we're skeptical and shouting against her, now everyone's like, please, we want to see what you have to say. This is interesting. It's interesting that he gets to say, like, the last speech, so to speak.
What building is that?
That's called the U.S. Capitol.
Capitol building, huh?
U.S. Capitol. And they have Skype then, 1997?
Government probably did.
Maybe they did. I don't think they did at that point. This is where he's great. And that's all of our aha moment. You know, so that way we know.
It happened.
Now, why 18 months later? What's significant about 18 months?
I don't know, 18 hours?
18 minutes of static, 18
I don't know.
Months later.
18. I'm just curious. They could have just said.
Look at her body language.
3 years later.
Open. She's associating with people. It's changed her.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
She's at peace.
Yeah.
Well, she's
at peace.
She seeks connection.
She was tortured. She was tortured. Yeah, now she's at peace. Yeah. There's a difference.
Because now she knows.
She's been released
from
her bondage that was tying her down.
Well, from her aloneness, you know. She doesn't have to. She can let go of her father.
It's a wonderful role.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a wonderful role.
So I was saying, is this one of the best? I mean, because if you look at Silence of the Lambs, that was such a dark, dark role. Or Nell, or The Accused. This is not a dark role.
Again,
this
look at her body language. Completely different.
She's open. She's not
holding herself.
That's beautiful. That's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. But this is, I mean,
it's
this is
gorgeous setting, too.
It's a positive, and this is not green screen.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Just checking, making sure.
This is the real deal.
Okay. It's actually the same setup as they did before.
Probably shot it on the same day.
They probably shot this first and then shot the sunset with the arrays all in the back. Yeah, because they had suns over there. So that way they had practice. They got set up for the first one. They knew how to shoot the second one.
Cars in the same place, same car.
Mm-hmm. Nice pickup.
Now look at the sparkle.
Yeah. Well, that.
Here it comes.
Where's the sparkle?
Shining. There it is.
Yeah, there's several sparkles, yeah.
In an arc shape.
Oh, I didn't see the arc shape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure of the significance of the arc shape, but it kept recurring.
Is Vega a constellation? No, Vega's a star, right?
Well, her character's made an arc.
Yes.
So if you want to tie it in like that. And there's our stars.
This was nice in that it just went to with the music, how it did.
Beautiful. I think it's very uplifting.
Gradual dissolve, and it went to the stars and for Carl. Right, because Carl, he had died like about a year or two before.
I find that is a very uplifting film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that movie. I actually really want to watch it again now.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed the movie. Despite my little problems with it. I mean, but just overall, there's definitely, you know, obviously I wanted to do it for this.
I remember my recollection was having problems with Pensacola being the end and that sequence and the way they did it,
right.
The visualization of it. I'm thinking, how else could you have done it, though? But now watching it again, I'm much better with it.
Yeah.
In 97, I felt it was, eh.
Well, because let's talk about that. Because the plant, so to speak, is so quick and so subtle. We only see that picture. I mean, that's the first time I've seen it. If you hadn't pointed it out to me, I would have been like, I didn't see that.
Well, I remember seeing that.
So
first time
I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't.
Yeah.
It made sense to me, but I thought it was sort of a cop-out in some respect when I first saw the film. But seeing it again...
Would you have preferred to see... Well, you wanted to see Alien Landscape? Just like you wanted to see Aliens?
No.
But you could have done that. I mean, she could have done any picture. It could have been any picture whatsoever. And it happened to be a picture that she associated with her dad and her mom.
Well, because they wanted her to feel comfortable and not freak out.
And for the film to work... Instead of her being in alien environment, E.T., and her making this massive interconnection with them, for the film to work on the faith level and what it's saying about the place of faith and everything, it should have been a picture she drew that she was put into.
Right.
Not something that was totally unfamiliar to her, that wasn't part of her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In order, for, you know, because the cynics would say she hallucinated and she went back to a memory of hers, which was Pensacola. And her dad, and all being warm and fuzzy, and things that meant emotional things to her, at that point, you know that. So
well, I would want to watch the beginning of the film again, but I'm not sure that they actually were ever there, were they?
Were in Pensacola?
And that's a dream she wanted to go there.
Yeah, I think it was something
she said
wanted
something,
to go to.
Yeah, she said it was like her favorite place or something that she wanted.
I mean, if
to go
she
see.
Did go there, then it is a little. It's different than if she just imagined it and it was her drawing.
That was her drawing that the aliens took and made it into the alien-esque interpretation of her drawing.
Right, yeah, right. An environment her brain could deal with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So really, for the structure of the screenplay the way it is, it works out best for it to end up in the picture of her.
Oh, absolutely.
Pensacola rather than her being there with the aliens.
But a lot of people had a problem.
This big emotional closure for the audience to say, oh, you made it to the other side. You're there. We have definite proof.
But a lot of people had a problem with the whole beach thing. I remember that.
But
I did when it first came out.
You were watching the beginning, though. I mean, in retrospect, seeing it now, you can kind of go, oh, this picture this little girl is showing, that looks like the planet we saw her on the first time we saw this movie. Seeing it for the first time... That picture kind of comes and goes. And
that was
my,
point.
Say Pensacola,
right.
When she was in the alien environment, and you don't remember that it was Pensacola because they only said it the once.
That was my point. Is that
I think she did
say
Pensacola in the alien environment.
But you still have to remember that it was Pensacola in her drawing.
But that's my point about the plant. Essentially, the plant. The first time, I did not catch that at all. So when I see the beach, I'm like, where did this come from? I don't know. Okay, it's beach. It's something from imagination. That I felt that needed to be more...
Explained? More clear?
Identifiable?
Made clear so that when we got to it, when it was planted properly so that we had the payoff. That was the payoff. And we were like, right. Okay, that's what that is. I get it, what it is.
To me, it was proper. It was planted properly because instead of just showing normal palm trees, they were to the side and curved.
Yeah, and the very shape of water.
Drawn
the very shape of those odd palm trees are what she sees. If they had just been straight up and down, I may not have made the exact connection. But because of that real identifiable odd shape of the trees, that's where I said, it's that picture she drew.
But I didn't make that connection.
Now, not that we needed to add any more length to the picture, but if they had had just a little bit more time in that scene where David Morse and her were looking at the picture and said something about it, like,
I think that
would have made it clearer?
No, they needed something else, and I don't know what it is. They needed some other way, either that or something else comes up in the middle of the film where it re-cements that in some kind of way. I'd have to sit down and think about it, but it just needs something, some good way to tie in with what's going on and give you that way station, so to speak, that plants you.
I think if they had, a lot of people would have said, we were spoon-fed. That was just
I got it fine.
This was a gentle thing.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, all things, it's fine.
And there were a lot of those in the film of planting an image that comes to fruition later.
Kathleen Kennedy was in this as herself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Dee Dee Myers was in this. Wow, that's funny.
And Major Russell's son was Alex Zemeckis?
Yes.
I don't know who Major Russell is. Oh, Major Russell, who didn't fly.
I'm saying is Alex Zemeckis, who was obviously related to the director.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No. I don't know. I know a lot of people with that name.
Pretty common.
Smith, Jones, Zemeckis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stunt person. Oh, they had one stunt person. Huh?
For the fall?
For the fall, probably. Or when they when they grabbed him with the bomb?
It was a woman.
Oh. It was a woman, yeah.
I know. Stunt person. That's odd.
A lot of compositing.
Yeah. Look at that. 3D paint supervisor, 3D effects animators.
Match move.
This was after Jurassic Park, right? Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. So this is all really around that time. That's around the time of Starship also, Starship Troopers. What? We have a friend who
worked. Go Denise.
We have a friend who worked on that.
Go Trey.
Yeah, go Trey.
Go George. My friend George worked on it too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Industrial Light and Magic.
Yep. A lot of that.
Marin County.
Oh. Is that a favorite of yours?
I was born there.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay,
that's why they actually, that's a little known fact, that's why they set up ILM there.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Peter Jackson.
Well, there was Weta. Weta did some effects on this, and Warner Digital. They got everyone in town to work on this. Wow.
Every house did something.
Spread the wealth.
Yeah, well, it paid off.
That's a lot to do.
That was 14 years ago. That's pretty amazing. Wow. So, well, does this film date well?
I actually think it does.
I think so, too.
Pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had no problem with it. I mean, you know, other than the random celebrity that isn't working today, which is easy enough for me to overlook.
And the CRTs?
No, I don't mind those.
You don't mind the CRTs?
Okay. No, the CRTs, I mean.
The hairstyles? Hairstyles still hold.
The glasses, the large round glasses frames.
Yeah.
Records, CDs, and tapes. That dates it.
Yeah. Tapes.
Yeah,
Okay. I withdraw my support.
Wow. They only listed those songs. Oh, okay. It's interesting. Well, very, very nice.
Well,
song.
No. I'm a big thumbs up on this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Tim. I did too.
Yeah, I did too. It was better watching it with you guys than by myself.
I like its message.
Me too.
Oh, I totally like the message.
I think it's good storytelling.
Very involving.
I think Jodie Foster's maybe not best performed role, but I think it's the best role that I've seen her in, that I've enjoyed her in.
It's a good meaty role.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good uplifting, positive. I mean, it's very
mm-hmm.
hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a strong female role.
Very mm-hmm. strong female role.
Right.
I wasn't sad when Tom Skerritt died.
You know, I wasn't either.
Me neither.
Or Busey.
Wow. That goes without saying.
Does that make me a bad person?
Yes.
Okay.
I was sad when John Hurt died.
I'm sad that he had to be zipped up. I'd like to see him in another movie. I mean, his character.
Yeah.
I suppose I could see him in another movie.
Maybe a prequel.
A prequel?
Yes.
Well,
someone had that much money, it's cool that he was doing
it. Or a movie about how they froze him.
Maybe.
And brought him back.
Or cut off his head and then froze him.
That's true. Of all people, he would be someone
that would be the one they could freeze and bring back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like Walt Disney.
Sort of like
Walt
Disney.
Only better.
Had
not
ice.
Scary and real.
Right. Ah, well.
And he was seeking redemption.
Who was? Hatton?
John Hurt's character.
Oh, totally. Actually, you know, it's interesting. He did have an arc. And
he
was
said,
like seeing the last
said,
part of it.
I want to pay for all the things I've taken from the world.
Did Drumlin...
To paraphrase his line, but yeah. I mean.
So, okay, so Jody, I keep on calling her Jody. What was her name?
Ellie.
Dr. Ellie Arroway.
Which is not an easy
she
name,
totally,
by the way,
she
to
totally
say.
Had an arc. But did Drumlin have an arc?
No,
he was bad through and through.
He was just evil.
You were going to tell me, where was the scene where the blind dude is totally in love with
her? I was watching
her.
For it, and I was watching other things. I missed it this bad. Time around.
Wait,
There's a moment that as an actor, he shows he's got a crush on her.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I could totally see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you can tell he
you
has a crush on her.
But there's a definite
times.
Moment where I went, that's it. And I didn't see it this time around. I'd have to watch it again. Sorry, I wish I could present that.
No, I thought I'd ask you.
No, good. Thank you for the follow-up. But I'm not saying anything. You had to bring it up because I feel like a fool because I'm like, I missed it.
I was watching for the eyebrow.
Yeah, me too. I didn't see that.
You can't see it because it's corrected. Uh-huh. The CG corrected her eyebrow thing, and that's what Jodie Foster took exception to. She's like, have fun with your toy box, but don't affect my performance with your CG stuff.
Wow.
And he tweaked her eyebrow.
She remembered the eyebrow raise she did in a scene? That's pretty
Absolutely.
That's pretty awesome.
She remembered.
Yep.
Someone told her.
I think someone told her
someone
about
told
it.
Her.
Yeah.
No question.
Someone called her. Hey,
she did not
Jody,
remember
you'll
that.
Never believe this. We took out your eyebrow. What?
Yeah, someone mentioned
it.
It was the movement
of an eyebrow. He didn't want her eyebrow to move, so the CG made it stationary in the shot.
Someone told her.
Well, he's a technician, and if you have your toy, you can do that kind of thing. Interesting.
That overstepped in her mind.
Interesting.
He should have just kept his mouth shut.
He said nothing to her.
Very gray area.
Yeah, so. Just a little special note for any directors out there.
Yes.
Don't mention if you make an adjustment to an actor's performance. If the actor brings it up, that's a different deal, but don't put it out there.
I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure it was leaked.
Someone said something.
Someone said something,
so. Yeah,
well,
yeah. Well,
big thumbs up.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's a good sci-fi there.
Mm-hmm. Refreshing good. Sci-fi.
And it's a good alien, actually, it's a good alien film without the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, you don't see any aliens. They're not malevolent. They're not evil. They're just very far away. And
it's always a pleasure to see David Morse.
And yet it just shows you that, yes, it is. Sorry to cut you off, but it just shows that you never see them, but the comfort in just knowing they're there.
Yeah, we're not alone.
Point. Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the point. They were not alone, that they're out there.
It's a big universe. If there's not
a lot of ways to space.
Yeah, if there's not something else out there, it seems like a lot of ways to space.
Yeah.
The catchphrases, though, I still like, if it is, whatever it is, it's not local.
Yeah.
What was the other one, too? He did some other raspy.
You got to say it like you've been smoking for a little while and surfing.
That guy bugged.
Whatever it is, it ain't local, dude.
Again, that's James Cameron territory.
Yes.
That's right. The bong was missing. Anyway, on that note, well, hey, thanks for listening to yet another Film Grok. This has been Contact This Week, and to this week we've had...
Jim Usterman.
And...
Taylor Thomas.
And...
Tim McMillan.
And moi, Serge Dolpierre. See you next time.